Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday. It is July 27th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the fire in Northern California that has claimed the life of a bulldozer operator and injured at least three firefighters is taking everything down in its path, a fire official said. Scott McLean, a spokesman for the crews battling the blades, told the Associated Press that the explosive wildfire has destroyed dozens of homes and reached the city of Redding. The situation is very dynamic and a heck of a fight, he added. Winds are reaching up to 60 miles per hour and creating fire nadoes strong enough to overturn vehicles, authorities said. Wow. Thousands of homes have been evacuated on the western edge of Redding, which is has a population of about 90,000. California Highway Patrol is going door to door to assist in the evacuations. The fire was earlier estimated to have claimed nearly 30,000 acres and was about 6% contained, but authorities said the acreage is expected to increase dramatically.
When you have fire nadoes, you're halfway to sharknadoes at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that talk about the perfect union of two horrific things.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're saying this is just one of the fires that they're battling in California. I mean, obviously, this is a big one, and it's, you know, hit the news, but it's not the only one.
They can borrow some of our rain if they want it.
Seriously, yeah. They need it.
Yeah.
A suspect has been arrested for the theft of thousands of dollars worth of gasoline from two Delaware gas stations. Delaware State Police have charged Vincent Chin of Philadelphia with two counts of theft greater than $1,500 and one count of theft left less than $1,500. He was also charged by the Delaware Natural Resources Police Environmental Crimes Unit with three counts of constructing equipment to discharge an air contaminant without a permit. Police say Chin used a siphon to steal from the station's underground tanks, filling his own plastic tanks. He's accused of stealing 1,700 gallons of gas, totaling...
What? 1,700?
Yeah, totaling $6,000 in cost.
There was a story, so I you know, put bizarre file stories together, and I have a whole stack of them, and sometimes I don't get to them because of time, but there was a story, I think it might have been out of Florida, and they busted this guy who they had what they had called in him in his truck a bladder that he had created, a gigantic tank that he would go and he was stealing gas, same thing, and I mean thousands of gallons of gasoline.
How do you not get noticed doing that?
I know.
Well, are they doing it at night?
Middle of the night? I don't know.
It didn't say when he was
doing it. Like a lock on that?
But it was it was two different gas stations, and he went to one twice and then the other one once. So he got 1,700 gallons in three visits.
And he'd have to have a pump too, because you can't siphon.
You can't with your mouth.
Well, unless you're below the tank, unless you're below where the liquid is, it can't run.
Right, yeah.
So he would have had to have used a pump, some kind of sophisticated equipment.
Who is that out there?
Yeah, but looking at the one gas station, I can't tell if this is one of those gas stations that runs all night, like a 24-hour jobby, but I would assume...
Might be, yeah.
..that they wait until the business closes.
Did you ever used to siphon gas?
Yes.
I used to do it all the time.
From where?
For my dad's gas tank, but it was for, like, the lawnmower or my motorcycle or something like that. And so you have to get below the tank, and you gotta suck the liquid out and
suck it hard.
Like, five times out of ten, you'd swallow some.
It's
just horrible.
You'd invariably get it out.
You get it in your mouth, you spit it out. And sometimes you would actually swallow it, and then you'd be burping that gasoline out for the rest of the day. It was horrible.
Kathy and Nick, I started watching that Bloodline show, but I stopped. I'm stopped on the episode where they steal the gas for the boat. Does that play into the plot?
Yes, it does.
At all?
Okay. Very important.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Does it have anything to do with this theft?
No, but they are stealing gas.
Gas is involved.
Seen on Bloodline.
So he stole 661 gallons the first time, second time 416 gallons, and then he went back to the original gas station and was able to get another 666 gallons.
My friend had gas stolen from him. It was kind of a weird turnabout.
Turn of affairs.
And it's his own fault for being a nice guy, but he was pumping gas with his company card, and he goes to put the gas nozzle back on the holder, and some guy walks up, "Hey, I'll take care of that for you."
And pumped gas?
No, and then so my buddy's like, okay, and lets him... quote unquote, put the gas.
But he never
back in the
did.
Hole,
it was
but
still
he
running.
Never did.
Yeah.
And then he must have just. I don't know if he called all his friends and family over for gas. It was like hundreds of dollars of worth.
Well,
of
he
gas.
Was probably getting people to give him cash directly yeah. and filling up their mm-hmm. tank right there on the spot.
It's
as
kind
well.
Of a smart move, though.
It, yeah. Well, an
little cottage industry
you.
There. Yeah, sure.
Idiot move for my friend. It's like no.
Yeah. Why
I
would
put
I
this
you...
back?
Yeah, yeah. It's so heavy. Could you carry it over to
no,
the pump?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Chim was arraigned and released on $6,100 unsecured bond. A Philadelphia woman whose violent arrest at the Jersey Shore over Memorial Day weekend was captured on video was in court on Thursday. The Associated Press reported that Emily Weinman rejected a plea deal and will seek entry into a pretrial program that could lead to the charge being dismissed. The 20-year-old was charged with aggravated assault on a police officer after the confrontation began when she repeatedly refused to give Wildwood police officers her name when they questioned her about the presence of alcoholic beverages on the beach. Police body cam footage and video shot by a beachgoer was released of the incident showing the confrontation between Weinman and the police. In an interview on Good Morning America last month, Weinman said that she was very anxious over the attention she's been receiving because of the videos. She says she is upset over what people have been saying about her. They see one video, one situation, and saying all this negative stuff about a person, but one situation doesn't define someone. I'm not a bad person. I'm not this person that they're trying to make me out to be, Weinman said.
Yeah, this is a perfect example because when the video first broke. Hey, well, look at this woman getting her ass kicked by this cop. Well, what's this about? And then the cop's footage came out, and everything started to be okay.
Pieced together.
There's more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah. And her lawyer talked to the news, and, you know, he said that she's suffering from neck and back pain and depression after
well,
all of this happened.
Lawyers can talk you into claiming.
Sure. Especially when they're swinging a stopwatch back and forth in
Listen,
front of you.
Yeah. She may be a good person. She may have done something stupid that yeah. particular day, which she did, definitely. I mean, it was just going to be a citation. And if you want to, you can go to court and you can fight
sure.
that and probably get it dropped anyway.
Well, that's what the
Your neck and back hurt. My neck and back hurt.
That's but, what the mayor of Wildwood said. He yeah. said they were issuing her a citation. All she needed to do was give her last name, take
arrested.
The citation, and
yeah.
that would have been it.
Exactly.
Instead, it's become this big thing.
Yep.
The officers involved were cleared of wrongdoing after authorities reviewed the video and police body cam footage. In sports this morning...
Ball sacks are yummy.
Last night in Cincinnati, the Phillies hit 7 home runs wow. and beat the Reds 9-4. Nick Williams, Rhys Hoskins, and Michael Franco each hit 2, and in the opener of the 4-game series, Carlos Santana added a 2-run shot as the National League East leaders tied the franchise record for home runs in a game set in September of 1998 against the Mets. Left-hander Ranger Suarez won his major league debut, allowing 6 hits and 4 runs, and the Phillies are now 2.5 games up on the Braves for first place in the National League East.
Nice. Wow. You should have heard... Rhys Hoskins' home run, his first home run. I have the audio of it.
You
knew it. Yeah. You knew it was out of the park. Just listen to it.
Wow.
That's heavy duty.
Wow, my goodness.
There is no question about it. Yeah.
The series in Cincinnati continues tonight. Nick Pivetta gets the start. Game time at 7:10. The Chicago Cubs have acquired left-hander Cole Hamels from the Texas Rangers for several minor league prospects. The former Philly, who is 34 years old, has a 5-9 record with a 4.72 ERA this season, but is much better on the road where he has an ERA under 3. The four-time All-Star is in his 14th season in the league. He played for the Phils from 2006 to 2015 and won a World Series, a World Series MVP, and an NLCS MVP with them in 2008. Yesterday was the first day of Eagles training camp, and for the first time this offseason, Carson Wentz participated in full team 11-on-11 drills. It was a light practice as the camp began, but Wentz was under center in full team drills for the first time since tearing his ACL and LCL back on December 10th. The final remaining goal for Wentz is to get cleared for contact, and those Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks a bunch, Kathy. Welcome to Friday, friends, and all its glory and all the wonderful things that we have in store for you today. Our Word of the Week prize, we will give that away this morning, and it's your chance to be in the pit for Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie BB&T Pavilion Thursday, August 9th. Marilyn actually canceled a show last night.
Really?
But it's apparently he was a little under the weather, so hopefully he's going to be okay for this show. It's a few days off, so we'll be good to go then, and you'll have a chance to meet either Rob or Marilyn. So That will be at the end of today's program. We not only have a couple of great comedians coming by this morning. We have Jessie Mae Peluso, who will be here. She's performing at Punchline Philly. And Bonnie McFarlane, who's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. But also, one of the things I was really happy to see is a big sign that said Zoe's Kitchen.
Yes! Walked into the green room this morning.
We're going to be eating good today. Eating well, I should say. And we love Zoe's Kitchen. So there are 17 locations around our area, and they're bringing in some good food this morning. And we're going to have some giveaways, so we spread the love to you today.
I have Zoe's hummus in my refrigerator right now.
Really? Always do. I love it. So we'll see what they bring us. We'll tell you all about that, and we'll do some giveaways in regard to that. Now, we had mentioned this earlier this week, and we made the announcement about an event that we are excited about. It's the return of Kathy Romano's Bitch Box, and it's a sorority party where ladies only will be able to come in and get this wonderful box full of goodness. And these are all hand-picked items from Kathy.
Yep. Yeah, think Birch Box.
Yep, only it's Bitch Box. And we're going to be doing it at Harrah's Philadelphia on August 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. Ladies only. So let's take five ladies who are at least 21 years of age. You can bring a female friend along with you because it's a sorority event. 215-263-WMMR. Let's get you on board from that. And you get to... And, you know, we'll be highlighting some of the items. Anything you want to mention, Kathy?
Yeah, you know, we'll just go through some of them, you know, as we do these giveaways. But Hey Honey, Elsie and Warrington Original Drinking Buddies, True Beauty Concepts, Braided Charm, Yummy Bites, Marinella Jewelry,
okay.
All contributed to the box, among others.
Kathy has a new package at her desk every single
day.
Yeah.
There's so many boxes.
Pretty awesome.
Yes. By the way, sign up for a Total Rewards card, and this is from Harrah's, and you receive... Excuse me, receive $250 in offers. You can take exit 8 on I-95, Harrah's Philadelphia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So that is coming up in a couple of weeks on August 23rd, a few weeks, I should say. So let's get you on board for that. Other giveaways throughout the course of the morning, we'll make sure we have an opportunity for you to win all kinds of stuff, including some tickets to see the Phils. We'll do four packs. And our buddy Shane Victorino is going to be back in town. He's going to be retiring as a Philly. Yeah. So it's Friday, August 3rd, and we'll have your chance to win those tickets at some point this morning, too. So a lot going on. I have a whole lot of entertainment stuff to pass along to you. So we'll break right now. We'll come back in just a moment. The stupid question and that entertainment report coming up next. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
All right, thanks, guys. So let's do the stupid question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to Six Flags Great Adventure. What is the only continent on which owls do not live? 215-263-WMMR. What's the only continent in the world in which owls do not live? Let's see if you know the answer. Give us a call. I have some birthdays that I will mention while we're waiting for your call. Today is Friday, July 27th, and it is Alex Rodriguez's birthday. A-Rod is 43 years old today.
Currently with J-Lo. Yeah. A-Rod and J-Lo. And A-Rod actually does a lot of sports commentary.
He's really good.
He's good.
It's annoying that he's good because I did not like him as a player, but he's a really good commentator, and he knows the game really well.
And he's actually likable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has good observations.
Do you not like him because of the steroid thing or the Yankees thing?
A lot of it. I mean, you know, there was that thing where he made $252 million. And the reason he made that much money was that he wanted to have exactly double the highest paid contract in professional sports at the time. That's where his ego was.
Yeah, but I never fault anybody for asking for money.
I know, but the way that he went about it, he deserved the money that he made because the market commanded it. And he was, for a stretch, the best player in the game. Mm-hmm. But he juiced, and he had a huge ego. But he's a good color commentator guy.
He is 43 today. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. We've talked about him on a few occasions lately. He had a little blow-up on an aircraft.
Yeah. Yes, he said he made the mistake of having... He had taken something, I guess, to calm him down, and he started drinking. And so that was a bad 1-2 punch.
He's great in Bennett Like Beckham. That's still a movie that I'll watch when it's on. Mission Impossible 3, Velvet Goldmine, a bunch of stuff. He's 41 years old today. Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
Yeah.
The name is a little... He needs to change his name.
It's really a terrible name for a guy you know.
He's Jaime Lannister on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And he's so damn good on that show. He's fantastic. What's wonderful about his character is you go from loathing him to going, okay.
I kind of understand.
I kind of know why he's being a dick.
Oh, he's a little misunderstood.
Oh, and he's banging his sister. Oh, my God. His twin sister.
His twin sister, no less.
And that's no secret because you find that out in the very first episode of the series. But
have you ever seen the picture of the lion that looks exactly like him by any chance?
I have.
I have not.
It's pretty close. Pretty cool. And the house sigil of House Lannister is the lion, so it plays right into that. But he's a great actor, and he's American. He doesn't have the English accent. He's one of those rare Americans.
We have one.
Yeah. But he puts on the Brit accent. He's 48. What?
They brought a picture up in the studio. It was not the picture.
Casey was shaking his head like, don't say that.
Don't say that because lions.
Right.
Lions. Oh, my God. Scared.
Julian McMahon, who's on Nip Tuck, and he also played Dr. Doom in the Fantastic Four.
He's good. He's Nip Tuck was a good series when it first came on. It was pretty controversial, but he's a good actor. You don't see him much these days.
He's the big 5-0. Maya Rudolph,
love her
from SNL. Yeah, she's
super talented.
Celebrating her 46th birthday, she is very, very funny.
Do we have the audio of her as Whitney Houston during the
looking for it. It's like probably under SNL.
She is funny and she can sing. And has she done any dramatic stuff?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
She can do it.
Sure, yeah.
You know, she's celebrating her 46th birthday today.
And who's the director she's married to? Film director.
Yeah.
Well known.
I have no idea.
Stanley Kubrick. No.
Oh, he's dead.
No, it's very sad.
Poor
Paul Thomas Anderson.
There we go.
Okay. Nice. So anyhow, she's 46. I'm going to move along. Norman Lear, creator of All in the Family, is 96 years old today.
Wow.
And a ton of other shows.
But, you know, he got to start writing for things like, you know, he goes all the way back to Beverly Hillbillies. Before that, I think he probably, was he one of the writers for Show of Shows and that sort of stuff? Maybe he's not of that realm, but he's throughout television from the goofiest, dumbest sitcoms to the most critically celebrated.
Yeah, so happy 96 to him today. That's cool.
He's got to lose that bucket hat, though.
Triple H, the championship wrestler, is 49. Guy's just gigantic.
Gigantic. Yeah. And he's married to McMahon, right? The daughter?
Is he?
He's married to Vince McMahon. No, he's married to the daughter, I believe is the case. What do the three H's stand for, by the way? Is that ever explained?
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was an abbreviation of his original ring name, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and he changed it to Triple H, so...
There you go.
I never knew that until just now.
Who knew?
And then the last birthday from the world of golf, one of the superstars, Jordan Spieth, celebrates his birthday today. He's a mere 25 years old. I believe when he won the Masters, he was 21.
Oh, my God.
I'm correct about that. And I remember seeing him walk off the green and, like, his college buddies were there. And they were just going, dude.
Yeah.
Dude. You know, and I'm like, fellas are going to party tonight a little bit.
Is he the one with Gretzky's?
No, that's Dustin Johnson.
But Jordan Spieth has, I think, either family or friends in our area, right? They're in Westchester, there's a bar that every time there's a PGA tournament on, they watch.
Seriously?
Because
I didn't know that.
His uncle actually works, I think, either at Dennis's school or in the district.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
So in the British Open this year, which he was the defending champion, he won last year.
Wow.
On the third round, since I watched, I was up at 7:30 in the morning and fell down the stairs and almost broke my hand.
So you're up.
So I'm up.
Might as well. I'm in agony. I figured, why not put on the TV?
It was either the third round or maybe it was on Friday, Sunday. But anyhow. He drove the green on the first hole, drove it all the way to the green and knocks it in for an eagle.
Wow.
But he didn't win, but he was the guy is just, he's so smooth. It's amazing.
So here's those local ties.
Happy 25th birthday. Yes. Let's get Jordan Spieth on our show.
I've been trying.
Says here his family owns Cho's right in the basement.
Down in the basement. Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Well, that's an investment.
It's an investment. You know? Yes.
Yeah. I've been trying for a long time.
Have you?
Right. Yeah.
You know what we need to do? Was it your idea or Marissa or somebody had said we should do the most famous person to call in?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking a version of that for Campout.
Okay.
Yeah. And
see, but we get local people to pull in the famous famous names.
Yeah.
And see if we can have some incentive to do that.
We've done it before. I think the highest we got was Jason Alexander's proctologist or something like that.
Dude, that was like, so we reserved the right to say.
15 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe we got a little bit more pull now.
And I had a twist for this year. So we can talk off air about it.
We just reserved the right to say. say, no, thank you.
Yeah, man, but if we could get Jordan Spieth,
that'd be cool.
That'd be a big deal. All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What is the only continent on which owls do not live? 215-263-WMMR. The number, but you don't need to know that because you've already called in. Let me go to Jason. Hi, Jason. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Jason. What's the continent in which owls do not live?
Is it Antarctica?
Is it Antarctica? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes, you're correct. I thought he said, is it Antarctica?
Antarctica.
Which
the subcontinent.
Technically would have been no.
I can't believe you just said that word Antarctica because what? It's what I was thinking of. Like, I swear to God, I'm like, Antarctica? I've never heard anybody say Antarctica before. It's what I was thinking in my mind. And
they
then
do say it in the pharmaceutical industry.
I do.
Or if your aunt's name is Fartica.
Yeah, you imagine exactly.
This is my aunt Fartica.
Yeah.
Jason, we have got a pair of tickets for Six Flags Great Adventure. Test your courage on the all-new Cyborg Cyber Spin at Six Flags, the world's first triple-axis gyroscope with unpredictable flips, 7 stories high. Save up to $25 on daily admission at SixFlags.com. We're going to start with Michelle Williams. She reveals that she has now married indie musician Phil Elverum in a very sacred and special ceremony last month. She's She's on the cover of Vanity Fair for its September issue, and nobody knew.
Talk about keeping an ironclad secret.
Yeah, she and the 40-year-old music man, she's 37, by the way, married in the Adirondacks in front of close friends. Her 12-year-old daughter, Matilda, and his 3-year-old daughter, they were there. And she shares Matilda, of course, with her late partner, Heath Ledger. And Elverum shares his daughter with his first wife.
They both lost spouses, right?
Yeah, I'll get to that. Really? Well, you know the story of him. He had lost his wife. She was an illustrator and musician named Genevieve Castree to cancer just 18 months after welcoming their daughter. So they both have this, man. They share this tragedy.
Tragedy, yeah.
But she said, obviously, I've never once in my life talked about a relationship, but Phil isn't anyone else, and that's worth something. Ultimately, the way he loves me is the way I want to live my life on the whole. I work to be free inside of the moment. I parent to let Matilda feel free to be herself, and I am finally loved by someone who makes me feel free. Wow.
I like that, Michelle Williams.
That's a great statement.
Absolutely. I wrote it for her.
Well, congratulations, yeah. Sir. I mean,
that's another secret. I'm sorry. I was not supposed to reveal that.
Williams adds that she loved after her breakup with Ledger and his unexpected tragic death from an overdose. That was in 2008. She said, I always say to Matilda, your dad loved me before anybody thought I was talented or pretty or had nice clothes. She's speaking, you know, so
yeah.
a young girl can understand that.
And he played the Joker!
She said, you are beautiful.
You wonder why I'm your daddy.
She said, I don't really want to talk about any of it, but there's...
Dab-a-dab-dab.
She said, but that there's this tease, the lure that's like, what if this helps somebody? What if somebody who has always journeyed in this way, who has struggled as much as I struggled and looked as much as I looked, to find something that helps them? So she said, don't settle. Don't settle for something that feels like a prison or is hard or hurts you. If it doesn't feel like love, it's not love. So she's just saying, you know.
Man, we're talking about all this love.
Wait till it feels right.
Yes. It's very inspiring. Yeah. I'm glad for her. I like her a lot. Yeah. I'm glad she's found love.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I'm thinking of, wouldn't it be great if Heath Ledger as the Joker was one of the Bachelors?
Wait, when
gets out of the limo, you know, on the show, the Bachelor.
The TV show, The Bachelor.
Yeah. I know you're noticing the scars.
But, of course, they're hanging all over,
yeah, yeah.
Which is what they do on that show. Yeah.
I love you.
That's his version
of
it.
I love you.
So, all right, maybe they could do that. If he were alive.
I think I might work on that.
That'd be wonderful. All right, moving on. Another story. Comedian Sarah Silverman is the latest to be taken to task for a tweet she sent out several years ago. Conservative activists dug up her old tweet and are now labeling her a pedophile. In July of 2009, Silverman tweeted, hey, is it considered molestation if the child makes the first move? I'm going to need a quick answer on this.
This is a slippery slope both ways. There is such a thing as sick comedy. It's what Nash Lampoon got to the dance on.
Mm-hmm.
You may not think it's funny, and I understand if you don't. And I understand stuff like that will rub people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Sarah Silverman's a pedophile.
No, definitely not. We're in right now. We're in like a transitional period.
Yep.
So this stuff is going to be dug up. It's going to change the way people post or think about it if they're cautious, and that's where we are right now.
And you know where I fall politically, and a lot of people on my side are looking at this and saying, you can't do this. You can't start dredging up stuff that, you know, because who can be held up to the light completely? You know, who is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you can't start ruining careers based on things that are like this. She was making a joke. You may not find the joke funny,
right?
But you can't draw the conclusion that she's a pedophile.
Well, and I agree with you, but it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. And by the way,
it's going to happen for now, and then it's going to change the way things are done from here on.
I agree. And yes. I also say this, that, and you also have to understand when businesses step up and go, well, look it. You know, we have, like Disney had to take the action they took because there was this big, you know, kick up about it. But you're right. Give it time and it'll start to settle again. Because
she's an independent contractor right now.
Yeah,
so.
But once everyone has a finger pointed at them, you know, everyone's, you know, nobody walks away from this.
Yeah, so Town Hall, a conservative publication, ran a story on the tweet with the headline, Disney voice actress and comedian Sarah Silverman also joked about molesting children. So last year, she was asked by a fan about the tweet, actually, and she responded, that's okay, doll. Comedy is subjective. I thought it was a funny / dumb tweet 8 years ago when I posted it. So that was last year she had commented on it. On Thursday, she posted about the controversy, tweeting, some very odd people are saying I'm a pedo, R.E., a joke from a time not that long ago when hard, absurd jokes by comedians were acknowledged for what they are, jokes, not a disingenuous national threat to people fake clutching their pearls whilst ranting the country's too PC. So I think it's mainly, once again, it's the print thing. It's not the, in the club, you can tell those jokes all you want and on your Netflix special and so on and so forth.
Written down, without any context.
Yes, and then because it can be retweeted, reposted, and just seen as black and white and without nuance. So that's where we are right now. Moving on, Ansel Elgort. Recently, he was in Divergent and Baby Driver.
Detergent.
Fault in Our Stars and Detergent.
Regurgitate.
Divergent, Regurgitate. Divergent,
Expectorant.
You know these, yeah.
Diarrhea is the new one.
Expectorant. he recently signed on as Global Ambassador for Ralph Lauren, Polo Red's fragrance franchise.
Ooh.
And
we were supposed to get that contract, Preston.
I'm a little upset about it, but he seems ideally suited for the role. He says that he often raids his girlfriend, Violetta Kamishan's stash of beauty products.
Does he? He raids Kamishan's beauty products.
Yeah, I guess that's how you're Kamishan. But anyway. He said, I'll use her stuff. We just share everything. And by everything, he means just that. The Baby Driver star tells people, we share handbags.
Oh, I've got one of my wife's tampons right now.
Well, handbags is sort of a thing that is making its way into the fashion world.
The dude bag.
The Gucci bags or Louis Vuitton man bags.
And listen, some of them look like regular, just like little work bags. Pierre has one. It looks totally functional.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take a look at that thing.
My son has one.
Does he? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's a brand name when he found it somewhere, and I forgot. It might be like, it's not Gucci, but it's a name. You know, I've forgotten what it is. It might be Calvin Klein or something like that. Yeah. But anyhow, he said, I wear handbags now. He said, purses are really cool. Or like the ones you put on over your shoulder. You can put your camera in there, your phone, your wallet. Sometimes if I'm wearing tight pants, I don't want to put anything in my pocket. Or sometimes it falls out of my pocket. So we share those now.
Well, my buddy Jeff, he would. And it was every single time we would go out, he would ask me to hold something for him. His phone or his wallet. And I'm like, dude,
that's what a girlfriend... That's what a wife asked.
I was just a little bitch.
Go ahead.
Didn't he have pockets?
Okay. He didn't like the way it felt in his pockets.
Oh,
it
was too
bad. I would have punched
him in his face.
Shut up. Carry your own crap. Don't like
what the am way I? What am I, your Sherpa? Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Jeff.
Come on, man.
Get it together.
Just get back to loving it. Howie
guys,
Long.
Guys, listen,
please. Get back to your homoerotic relationship with Howie Long.
Guys, this is years ago. He hasn't asked me to carry anything for him.
We're mad.
He hasn't asked me to hold his compact or his lipstick in a long time.
Wait, what would you carry? Like his wallet? What would he ask you to carry?
A wallet. Yeah. Keys. Keys. Anything that had a little bit of bulk to it.
And would you do it?
Probably, if I had like my cargo shorts and stuff like that.
Listen,
yeah.
I like it, but first the guy defends Hitler.
Yeah.
No.
No, but Kath, I probably did a couple of times until I realized, like, dude.
What am I doing?
You little bitch. Hold your own stuff.
Yeah. How many times have you guys taken out like your, because we don't wear suits a lot in general, and found a lipstick? Or something that your wife asked you to hold in one of the pockets.
That's where it went.
Yes, exactly.
Anyhow, regarding his favorite scent, he's the face of a fragrance after all.
Of course.
The 24-year-old said, I love home-cooked meals. The smell of food. The smell of food in the oven.
Oh.
So I don't know if, he wants to wear that particular scent or what.
Oh. Brisket for men.
Meatloaf.
Smells like biscuit.
Yum.
His girlfriend's a ballerina, by the way, Violetta.
Yeah, Nick just pulled up her Instagram.
Holy crap.
She is gorgeous.
That's not his baby mama, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he got a baby mama?
No, he's got a baby and a baby mama.
I did not know that. Well,
yeah, this girl's a ballerina, Violetta Comichon.
Yeah, she's got over a million followers, too, on Instagram. So, wow, nice. All right, we have other things to get to.
Come on.
There are fans, and then there are Star Wars fans. Simon Pegg is familiar with the rabid fan base phenomenon, having starred in 3 Mission Impossible and Star Trek films apiece. But he says Star Wars fans crossed the line in their criticism of Kelly Marie Tran and Ahmed Best. The Star Wars The Last Jedi star famously scrubbed her Instagram clean in June after facing months of trolling for her character Rose Tico. In a video interview with Peg claims that he was upset after the release of The Phantom Menace and was one of the many who criticized the franchise for dragging Jar Jar Binks into it. The actor who played Jar Jar, Ahmed Best, revealed earlier this year that the criticism of his character made him actually contemplate suicide, and afterwards it made Peg rethink his approach. He said, I feel so ashamed of the fact that there was actually a victim, a human victim in that. He said, I think most people were regarding Jar Jar Binks like he was a real creature and wailing on him for being annoying or whatever or not liking him. But there was a person behind that, and I read that and just thought, Christ, I'm one of those people, and it makes me feel awful.
Well, he wasn't targeted specifically. It was the dumbness of the character and maybe I missed out on it, but
I don't know. Maybe people beat it up.
Maybe they did, but the character was horrible.
Or you just kind of, it was like an indirect thing, like, I'm not talking to you. I'm my best. But
yeah.
But he was hearing it all
and took it personally.
And took it personally.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I understand.
I don't know, or maybe people went after him. Regarding the criticism of Tran and director Rian Johnson, he said, "There's no diplomacy in that. There's no empathy. We're becoming very, very insular as human beings. We're becoming very self-driven, selfish. Our opinions, our needs, our wants." He said, "I feel sorry for Kelly Marie Tran because she was just in a film." An effing film. It's a good point that he makes. It's just a movie, that's all, he said. That's all it is.
This should come as no shock. This goes back to, look at years and years and years ago, Kevin Smith parroting the fan reaction and how everything you do is just absolutely magnified 1,000%.
Yeah.
But it's dumb. You're always going to get this to some level.
Well, I'm really surprised by this because I loved her in that movie.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. But
you're not an a-hole.
Oh. Yeah, you're not an a-hole.
All right.
That's the
problem. And you know what? You can have not liked her in the movie.
Yeah.
But just realize it was just a movie. But if you didn't like her for some reasons, that makes you an a-hole. Mm-hmm. If you just didn't simply like the character, then move along.
Yeah, so. Getting mad at entertainment that you don't like is odd.
Don't watch it!
I know.
Here's something that's being provided to me to entertain me, and I'm now angry about it.
And there have been a few occasions lately where, people have felt that a film has ruined a book. It hasn't.
No.
The book still exists. It's okay.
Go read the book.
No.
None of it matters, he said. None of it. I think that it would be nice if everyone just got on, and stopped being so aggressive. Meanwhile, Rian Johnson seems to have taken preemptive action online after James Gunn got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy and several other celebrities have been castigated for old social media posts they made. The director deleted about 20,000 tweets from his Twitter account, prompting some to question his motivation. His respond was he tweeted, I don't think I've ever tweeted anything that bad, but it's 9 years of stuff written largely off of the cuff as ephemera. If trolls scrutinizing it for ammunition is the new normal, this seems like a why not move.
The bulk of those, by the way, Preston, it was a smart move on his part because the bulk of those were in defense of Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, my God.
And he just does not want to open up that kettle.
No, I wouldn't blame people for scrubbing their account and creating a new one.
If you want to... But it's so funny. Yeah. It's so funny. We've been saying all along, this, you know, this stuff lives on. Eventually, this whole reaction will start to kill social media.
Yeah.
It'll start to kill it.
But also, I'm all right with that. Times are a-changing as well. So what was sort of socially acceptable as, you know, jokes or whatever 4 years ago, 8 years ago, are like, just do not fly right now. So,
well, and, to the point, so instead to the point of it being an antiseptic print form, as Preston mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still tough.
But it's also really, really hard. I don't know how many times I've tweeted, you know. It's probably really hard to go back and just go, okay, this one's okay, then okay, 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 not okay, not okay.
Bulk
so just scrub it all.
Yep. Yeah, yep. You could do that.
That's it. Is that a horse snort?
Yeah, it was queued up, and I felt we just needed a sound effect in there. Yeah. So there you go. It's a
good transition.
The women of 9 to 5 are coming back.
No way.
Jane Fonda confirmed on Wednesday that she and co-stars Dolly Parton and Lily Tomlin are planning to star in a sequel of 9 to 5, the 1980 comedy in which they portrayed three working women who fight back against chauvinism, misogyny, and harassment in their office.
This is pretty wild. This time around, though, 9 to 5 pertains to the visiting hours at the hospital.
Fonda told Television Critics Association at an event in Los Angeles, my role is as an executive producer, and I'm working with the writers, with Lily, and talking to the writers. She said, right now, Dolly, Lily, and I are all intending to be in it,
okay,
which is cool.
I think it's funny. I actually was watching this movie, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and yes.
You watch it every month, right?
No, but chauvinism and, you know, and the boss is terrible on it. But they stole a dead body in that movie. You know what I mean?
They think, like, yes. Yeah,
well, at
they
a do, certain yeah. point, whatever your boss did does not compare to you guys stealing a dead body.
Well, it's just, it's what you call like a screwball comedy.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be over the top. I mean,
I love it, though.
The way, their way of dealing with office chauvinism is to attach the boss to a garage door opener.
The scene where they first roll him up on that is pretty damn funny. Dabney Coleman was great in that movie, man.
I like when he's sitting there with in his like underwear, his black socks, with the bondage out. And when the husband goes up and looks at the rig, Jane Fonda's estranged husband, what are you doing?
What are you into?
I do S&M and M&Ms.
Yep.
Wait, did you say he's going to be a part of it?
No. I just said he was great.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So anyhow, yeah, I don't know. You never know. So those three are going to be in it. Maybe he makes a cameo of some sort. Yeah, he's great. So anyhow, at the time when they talked about this last year, they were talking about maybe having a younger group of ladies, and they had kicked around the idea of Rashida Jones collaborate with Patricia Resnick, writer of the original screenplay. So I don't know what it looks like they're going to follow these original three ladies.
That would be cool. And maybe they serve as elder stateswomen to a new crop of women.
Yeah, yeah. They said that they would offer their advice on how to get even so with these other three people. So anyhow, we'll see when this is going to be happening. It says Dolly Parton, meanwhile, told Nightline in March that she'd love to reprise a role in a 9 to 5 sequel if the script was right. She said it never made any real sense until just recently, but everybody is interested.
Do you know what this means, though? If she's that up for this, Preston, Rhinestone 2.
I love it.
Both her and Stallone back together again.
Wow, I have too much stuff here.
Keep going. Take it on through to Jackson show.
Do you want to hear what Meghan Markle was wearing recently?
Yeah, I do, actually.
She wore a stunning navy V-neck, T-length Carolina Herrera frock to support Prince Harry at the Sentible Polo Cup 2018 charity event at the Royal County of Berkshire Polo
when
Club.
When you're done wearing those, would you let me smell them?
This was on Thursday.
Do you know that she does her own makeup?
I did not know.
She does
that.
Not have a makeup person or a staff makeup.
She's just like us.
Wow,
she's just
like us. A woman who could do
Meghan
her own
Markle
makeup.
Does her own makeup.
She paired the dress with Tom Ford cat eye sunglasses and a chic J. Crew basket weave clutch. The event raises funds for an HIV charity, the Sentible Foundation.
She also had a Ghostbusters proton pack, which was weird.
She had a full-on proton pack.
What exactly is that?
I love it. Hey, Steve, a Manhattan judge says Million Dollar Baby screenwriter Paul Haggis must face a civil rape lawsuit filed by a publicist and three other women after hearing an account of one of the assaults.
Wow.
According to the attorney for Haley Breest, he said in court, what Mr. Haggis did is forcibly remove her clothing, forcibly kiss her, forcibly penetrate her. The judge said, I understand. And the Oscar winner wanted the case thrown out, claiming Breest attempted to extort him. The judge is also permitting Breest's attorney to add three unnamed women to the suit. And the next court hearing is in October. So we'll see.
So he'll get his day in court. But he was one of the main people to spearhead the whole Scientology investigation.
Yep, exactly. Charlie's Angels has some new angels. Kristen Stewart, Power Rangers actress Naomi Scott, and British newcomer Ella Balinska are all in to headline the Charlie's Angels reboot.
You know who's directing it?
Elizabeth Banks.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, she co-wrote the script, and she will be starring as Charlie.
Yeah.
So she will be Charlie's talent, which means she'll be the voice.
Yeah, Does it need to be those? Well, those last movies were fun. They weren't great.
I liked the first one a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a lot of fun. The second one, you know, as is usually happens, it gets even more ridiculous. But I thought the first one was a lot of fun. Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu obviously played the originals in that film in the 2003 sequel.
Hey, you had mentioned Power Rangers in that story, Press. Has anybody seen that movie that came out last year?
The reboot. It's a lot more aggressive.
It's not as like cheesy as far as the graphics are concerned.
No. Like I only saw a couple of scenes. I haven't seen the whole thing. Right. Did you see it?
No. It's available on either Netflix or Hulu or one of those. And I just don't know if it's worth investing.
Maybe the kids would like
it. Yeah,
and
that time. Wow.
It's got Bryan Cranston.
Oh, well then, sign me up.
All right. Let's see. Bachelor alum Joelia Kinney is set to marry Aaron Bass, the brother of former Bachelor in Paradise star Evan Bass.
I love you.
Yeah, Aaron Bass and Evan Bass. She shared the news on Instagram, captioning a shot of herself smooching him on the beach in
Mexico.
I love
you more than big puffy clouds. I love you more than long walks on the beach. I love you more than jerky.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is love.
Yeah.
Turkey jerky?
Turkey jerky.
She said.
It's fun to say.
She said.
I can feel in the roof of my mouth. Turkey jerky.
She said, this man, from the time I met him last year in Mexico, I thought to myself, he is hot.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
And would make such a good husband from all the energy I felt from his heart.
Romeo, you're so hot. And you're hot, too. Even from down here up on the balcony, you are freaking hot.
I don't care if you're a Montague.
Oh, my God. I don't care. You are so banging smoking hot. You, too. Oh, no, the hot chick is... hot guy's dead. I'm going to kill myself.
You see the light from the window as it breaks?
Yeah, I can see through the bottom of your dress.
You're way up there.
I can see your coat or through the light, and it's hot. The backlight through your dress. I can see your whole butt. So hot. Man, the romantic dialogue has really diminished over the centuries.
She said, I thought to myself, he is hot and would make such a good husband from all the energy I felt from his heart. I didn't think much.
Hot before heart.
She said, I didn't think much more of it because I lived in San Diego and he lived in Nashville.
You are so hot. I was always going to puke. That's how freaking hot you are. You're a smoke show.
So she was previously wed to Dustin Kinney.
He wasn't very hot.
Well, he died. He killed himself.
Sorry.
In 2013.
I retract my statement.
Come on.
Okay.
Listen, it's sad, but it's also good. Because you're hot and me likey.
I'm not denying it's sad. I keep things in perspective. Someone died, but you are hot.
I love this guy. I love this guy. Evan Bass.
Evan Bass.
Or no, I'm sorry, Aaron Bass. His brother was Evan.
The Bass who was
on one of those fish. This is my sister, Katrina Perch. And my mother, Edna Halibut.
His sister is Katrina Birch?
Perch.
Wow. Perch, I'm sorry. Perch, yes. All right, anyhow, they got married.
Yeah, they're all cool. All
right. Or no, they're set to marry. They're engaged.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We're just hot.
Yeah, sure. One more thing. All right, I'll end with this. Mixed martial arts star Conor McGregor pleaded guilty yesterday to disorderly conduct over a backstage melee at Brooklyn's Barclays Center Arena in April, and will have to perform 5 days community service.
But he dropped it from a felony assault to a misdemeanor.
Imagine you show up to collect trash and Conor McGregor is with you on your community service day.
You know, it's so that footage.
Yeah.
He's freaking the F out. I mean, he throws that pole through the bus window. The glass shards cut two or three people in the bus. I mean, he was out of his mind.
Nick, do you remember we were waiting for a subway and there was that drunk guy walking around just going, Conor McGregor!
Yeah, I think that guy's done community service, too.
Yes. Yeah. McGregor will also be evaluated for an anger management program and is barred from contact with fighters who were injured in the incident, which took place after a news conference for a UFC event. During the melee, McGregor was seen on camera throwing a hand truck at a bus full of fighters, injuring two of them with shattered glass. He was reportedly looking for retaliation against a fighter who had been involved in an altercation with McGregor's friend. The fighter was on the bus but wasn't injured in the attack. So Conor's, it's a little slap on the wrist.
You know what Conor McGregor did, though, that no one ever does? And he sort of owned his perp walk when he's walking out, his head's up, he's looking around, he's like, you know, he's not the hunched over.
No, he's a showman, dude.
Oh, I'm so sore.
No. All right. Let's do clips. There. So in Mission Impossible Fallout, Ethan Hunt and his team returns as they try to stop a terrorist group from detonating several nuclear weapons across the world. Tom Cruise shares his thoughts on his 7th Mission Impossible film.
You know, when you see that story and how it's just layered through all of the movies, really. And this one, he's got a great partner. There's a great dynamic with Ving Rhames in this one.
Yeah! Mission Impossible Fallout is in theaters now. Nick saw it, loved it.
Yeah, you know who's in it and great, Preston, is Rebecca Ferguson. We had her in studio a few years ago. I mean, if you like the supporting cast of the last few.
I love
few,
her. I love you.
They're all in it.
She's hot.
Yeah. And they're all really good. No Jeremy Renner in this one, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but he's not in this one. But everybody else, the villain's great. And Henry Cavill, Cavill?
Yes,
Cavill. He's fantastic.
And Nick, they say that it just keeps mounting with, you think you've seen it all with one stunt or one exchange, and then it goes on to something even more.
And somehow they make it believable. Yes. It's not so cartoony that you're like
Fast and Furious.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, next clip, here we go. Outcast is a family drama about a man who is possessed by demons for most of his life. Here, show creator and producer Robert Kirkman describes his thought process for creating a captivating plot.
I don't know. You always want to start something off with a bang. I mean, I feel like in this crowded entertainment environment, you really want to make sure that people are kind of getting a sense of what they're getting into and also hopefully hooked from the very first minute.
You can watch Outcast on Max, by the way.
On what?
Max?
It says Max.
What is that?
Does that mean Cinemax?
Cinemax.
Oh, I thought it was the guy that works in the green room.
No, not that guy. All right,
show it on his belly.
That is what I have for you. I told you I had a lot. There was a ton I didn't even get to, and it's already 12 minutes after 7, so we got to take a break. You want me to give away one of these?
Yeah, man.
The Phillies and Marlins are playing on Friday, August 3rd, a week from today, and guess who's going to be there? Shane Victorino, the Flying Hawaiian, is returning as a Philly that night to retire. I'll take caller number 25 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will give you a 4-pack of tickets to that game. So call now. That's going to be a cool one. Go to Phillies.com. They're in first place, too.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Go to Phillies.com for tickets and information, including lots of games, promotions, and giveaways in the second half of the season. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I did not know this until this morning.
What?
And you guys tell me if you already knew it, and we can skirt along to something else. But did you guys know that Bob Marley used to live in Delaware?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Bob Marley called Delaware home.
For how long?
For a decent amount of time. So here's the story. And the reason being, the reason I saw this morning.
There's Dover?
No, it was Ray Wilmington. Spray. Oh. It was Wilmington. So there's a festival of sorts coming up, and I don't have the details on that. Marissa or Nick, maybe you can look that up for me. And I've forgotten what it's called. But years after his father died, Bob Marley moved to Delaware with his mother, Sedelia Malcolm Marley Booker, from Kingston, Jamaica, when she remarried.
So she figured, where in the continental United States is the most like Jamaica?
And tax-free shopping.
Tax-free shopping, yeah.
I knew he died in the States. I think he died in... Yeah, he died in Miami, Florida.
Outside of Jamaica, Wilmington was the first place that Bob Marley called home.
No way. That blows my mind.
I had no
idea. How come this is not common knowledge?
His mother owned her house on Tatnall Street and ran the Roots Jamaican Music Shop on Market Street for a time. Marley and his wife lived nearby. Accounts vary on when the family came to Delaware and just how long Bob Marley lived here full time, from a few months to many years. By some reports, Sedelia had moved there in 1962 after her son had begun recording as a teen with the Wailers, but he moved back in the mid-1960s to resume his music career. When he returned and is said to have stayed longer, he worked at the Chrysler Assembly Plant in Newark.
Wow!
Where fans bemoan the lack of a sign or other formal tribute. Night Shift, which he wrote in 1976, is said to have been inspired by his forklift driving job in Chrysler's parts warehouse in Newark.
Are there any other nods or Easter eggs, so to speak, in songs that refer to Delaware in any way?
This was the only one that's referred to in this particular article. He also worked as a DuPont Company lab assistant, but is said to have been paid under the name of Donald Marley.
The name of the festival, by the way, is the People's Festival.
And it's tomorrow.
And it's tomorrow, yeah.
Tribute to Bob Marley.
And it's at the Queen, which is the venue in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. It's an indoor-outdoor street festival, it says.
That freaks me out.
Yeah, isn't that wild? It's a free event, too.
Delaware, of all places.
Yeah.
So how many years in total did he live here?
Well, it varies by the story. So it says here that even the family's foundation avoids specifying his Delaware time, saying that he lived here off and on from 1965 to 1977. That's according to the News Journal. Marley's son, Stephen, was born in Wilmington in 1972.
Wait a second. My name is Stephen.
Is he? Yes.
Oh, my God.
Morrison, Marley.
Oh, too close for comfort.
We're getting a lot of texts from the 302 area code this morning saying that a lot of Delawareans already knew this.
Yeah, I would figure.
It's not news to them.
Thanks for keeping it a secret.
But yeah. Why not? Why is this not?
Us?
Yeah. Why didn't you tell us up here in the...
Pennsylvania.
In the northern areas. Well, northern territory.
We got mountains up here.
Yeah.
We don't have the sea.
That's right. I never... I don't think I've ever heard him speak. I've only heard...
Well, he's dead now.
Wow. Okay. But I've only heard him sing, so I don't know. Does he have a Jamaican accent?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Okay.
We
smoke potted ham. Yeah, man. Answer the phone.
The phone.
Wait, what did you say? Nothing.
Yeah, Mom, I got a gig this Saturday.
Saturday. It's my next song, Buffalo Soldier.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
He and the siblings lived with Marley's mom, went to city schools, and stayed with her when he toured. Among his many awards and honors, Marley's One Love, People Get Ready with the Wailers was named Song of the Millennium by the BBC. Robert Nesta Marley, whose middle name meant wise messenger, died of cancer in 1981. He was 36 years old. He was at his mother's side. She lived in a home that he had bought her in Miami, which is what you were referring to.
Yeah.
Where she moved after closing her Wilmington store following a burglary in the late 1970s.
Ready for another mind F?
Yeah.
Marley and Me was originally supposed to be a Rastafarian singer.
Oh, no. My God.
Yeah. Got into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
He has a daughter that lives in the area.
Really?
Yeah, she lives in
Carly Marley.
By various accounts, very sexy, the Coatesville or Westchester area.
Okay, I thought that's pretty amazing.
That is, you know, there are little things like that that you learned. Larry Fine and Bob Marley,
yeah.
within driving distance of each other.
Yeah, By the way, here's a text. This random text says, Delaware can suck my ass. Go Eagles.
What does that even mean?
Well, listen, it's a big rivalry. The our football team and Delaware's football team.
Blue hands suck. Go Eagles. I mean, come on.
By the way, I think it was without the blue hens, would we even have known about monkey riding dogs?
No,
You're
thinking of the Blue Rocks.
The Blue Rocks, I'd say yes.
So the blue hens can suck our ass, right?
Do you think that I'm asking the Delaware listeners, do Delaware listeners feel the same way that we feel when compared to New York and D.C. on a map? Like, we get wiped out, Philadelphia does, from the map, on the national map sometimes. Do Delawareans feel that way when we talk about the tri-state area?
Do we even really care?
Movie...
We do. And I think the great leveler is the tax-free shopping. They got that.
Yes.
They win.
Moving here from the Midwest, I had no idea where Delaware was.
I mean, there's that joke
in the
Wings.
Entire United States. I didn't know if it was East Coast, West. I didn't know where in the country it was.
Oh, really?
That
Wayne's World joke.
I didn't grow up here. The Wayne's World joke. Yeah. Hey, I'm in Delaware.
In Delaware.
Yeah. For a time, I thought Delaware was a city.
Sweet God.
I kid you
Sweet
not.
Sweet Mother God. And we have a morning show.
I know.
You know what? For some reason, I've always loved thought warmly of Delaware.
Listen.
I don't know why. Whenever we do appearances down in Delaware or whatever, they're the best. It's awesome.
We have a lot of listeners there. Yeah. And they have total wine, so I'm all in.
That's true. That was my first real experience with Delaware, because I lived in Delaware County, and I lived not too far from the Delaware state border, and Total Wine, which used to be called Liquor World.
Oh, yeah?
Is where I used to go. Yeah, my wife and I used to joke, because I'd say, hey, honey, I'm going to stop off at Liquor World.
The only thing that sucks about that place is the parking lot is terrible.
No, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter if you're drunk.
All inside is fine.
If you're drunk, it's fine.
All right, hang on. I want to go to somebody who has a Bob Marley connection through Delaware. I have Dave on the line. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gadzooks.
Hey, Gadzooks. What's up, Dave?
Hey, my best friend's stepfather actually Marley, him and Bob Marley together working at the Chrysler plant.
They're both working at the Chrysler plant.
Wait, he has a picture?
Yeah, they took a picture together.
They were buddies?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Right, and how, what did he...
Dave, sounds like you've been hanging out with Bob this morning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. A little wake and bake.
Any stories from your friend's father-in-law?
Not really. Just
okay, that's great, man. He was a musician.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy one of the cars that came off that line.
Thank you, Dave, for that riveting story. We appreciate it. Interesting.
Why are the tires inside the car?
I didn't know. That's surprising to me. And listen,
Bob, I want more like that.
Bob is one of the greatest musicians. I mean, his legacy still... is as that music is as fresh today as it was when it came out.
You know? The funny thing is, you figure, okay, this is some sort of thing where they do it for tourism. You go down to Jamaica, they're listening to Marley.
And
of course they are.
It's standard issue that when you're a freshman in college, you get the Bob Marley poster and you put it up on the wall.
Yeah. Because the only other, I think somebody, I was trying to think of other famous Delawareans, and I think they were trying to preserve the... the George Thorogood Boyhood Home.
Oh, okay. Really?
And doesn't Bob trump George Thorogood?
I'm sorry, but yes.
Yes!
To all the ardent Thorogood fans out there, Bob Marley trumps.
I would celebrate Bob Marley. Is he from Delaware?
I think Eddie Money's from Delaware. Somebody look that up.
He's from all Nepal. Right.
Here we go. Here are other famous Delawareans. Valerie Bertinelli.
Oh, all right.
Is from Wilmington. I had no idea. Some people I've never heard of. A few authors. A playwright, Robert Montgomery Bird. Henry S. Canby is an author. Annie Jump Cannon, an astronomer. Okay.
Oh.
Let me scan down these here.
Oh.
Inventor, what?
Heimlich.
Heimlich is from Wilmington.
Okay.
Henry Heimlich, who created the Heimlich maneuver.
And Grafenberg.
Wow. Grafenberg, the famous G-spot creator. No, he's not. That name is not on here.
Eddie Money, not from Delaware, no.
Eddie Money, I believe, is from New York.
Yes.
But just like Ronnie said.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Wait, did you just say Eddie Money for fun, or did you actually think he was from Delaware?
Listen.
It doesn't say George Thorogood on here.
It does not.
I thought he lived there for a time. Of course, his band was the Delaware Destroyers.
The funny thing is, George Thorogood actually lived in Jamaica, and that was the weird reversal. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
My favorite senator. He's from Delaware. Chris Coons.
Yes.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me go to Amy, who lives in Delaware. Hi, Amy, you're on the air. Good morning.
I jig on it.
You got it. Amy, what did you want to tell us?
So I grew up not too far from you, Preston, in Illinois. Then we lived in Nashville for almost 20 years. So when we decided that we were moving to Delaware because my husband got a job offer here, I knew nothing about it. And so I was telling a woman at our church that we were moving to Delaware, and she said, Delaware? What state's that in?
What state's that in?
Oh, my God.
What state is Delaware in?
I love it.
Nobody knows where Delaware is, although I did know George Thurgood. He was from Delaware, and because when my husband and I met about 35 years ago, we had we were at a party, and the guy was playing a lot of George Thurgood, so it was kind of funny that we ended up in Delaware, and apparently George Thurgood owned this building right down the street from us. So, yeah, everybody in Delaware knows that stuff. Nobody else.
Well, let me ask you if you've heard this, because we're seeing the names Judge Reinhold and Elizabeth Shue up on the screen here. Are they known to be Delawareans?
I haven't heard about them, but I did know, the guy that used to be married to Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, Ryan Philippi. Yes,
yeah,
that's right. He's from there, yeah.
All right. And the girl that was on Parks and Rec, wasn't Parks and Rec?
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza. Yeah.
Those are formidable.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the small wonder that it is.
Yes.
Delaware. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Here's a big one. What were you playing?
That was Amy. I just had it ready to go.
For Amy who? The caller?
Yeah. Back to you.
Okay. It's a great song from Pure Prairie.
I love the rewind. Great song.
Okay,
let me get my jug.
All right, please. Ray Charles is from Delaware.
No, he's not.
That's what it says here. It says Ray Charles.
He thought he was raised in Delaware. He was in Missouri.
Yep.
How come I'm paying all his taxes?
That's how they ripped him off.
I don't think he was from Delaware.
It says here, Delaware famous. People listed are almost...
That song, George, is about Delaware.
It says almost always native to the state. We do on occasion include those that have either lived within a state for most of their annual adult life or have made a significant contribution to the state in their personal endeavors. Okay, well, then this doesn't count.
He once went to Delaware.
Yeah. Marissa?
He played that in Delaware. I think his name is Ray Charles Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard?
Sugar Ray Leonard. I didn't know Sugar Ray's middle name was Charles.
Wait, and it's Valerie Ray Charles Bertinelli.
Sugar Ray Leonard. Okay, gotcha.
One more big one who was actually in Rehoboth a few weeks ago, Ryan Philippi.
We also mentioned that.
You did mention that.
Yes, sorry. The caller mentioned it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sugar Ray's from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Different Wilmington.
Jesus Rhymney.
Oh, well.
Well, you want to see who else is on this list of maybe people who are from Delaware?
I don't know why I do enjoy this stuff. I do enjoy, like when you, the birthday thing in the morning, I enjoy that for some reason.
Who's Sean Patrick Thomas, actor?
The name just looks familiar.
It's Sean Patrick Flannery. Sean Patrick Thomas. Was he in American Pie?
The Last Dance?
No. Save the Last Dance.
And The District. I don't know.
And also he's from Washington, D.C.
What?
He was raised in Wilmington. There you go.
Come on. Oh, wait.
Well, I'm not going through the rest of this.
We're not going to do it.
Pick if there's someone who's huge.
There's no one huge on here.
All right.
They've already highlighted the huge ones.
All right.
I just have, let me see. I'm scanning this right now. It's mainly politicians, chemists. Estelle Taylor is an actress. I don't know who that is. I guess they grasp for whoever they can get. On this list for Delaware.
In your hometown, we've done this before, who's the most famous person to come out of your area, your hometown?
John Goodman.
John Goodman, okay.
That's from your hometown?
Well, St. Louis.
Okay.
I mean, so, and of course I saw him with a hooker on his back.
At a strip club.
At a strip club, yes. Hold on, Marissa.
All right, so I found another list. Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Yes, there you go. There's your vice president.
Now listen.
Hold on. Estelle Taylor was born in 1894, by the way.
Well, there you go. That doesn't mean she wasn't a famous actress.
No.
And one more. Did we mention Terry Polo from the Fockers?
Meet the Fockers and yes.
The wife.
Oh, okay.
Meet the parents. Meet the Fockers.
What about the bad guy from Avatar? Is he from Delaware?
Stephen Lang?
Yeah.
He lives. Don't know.
Somebody looked that up.
I don't know.
He's super famous.
He would have been on this list. Let me go to...
What?
All right, somebody met Valerie Bertinelli's father.
Please. Hi. I want to hear the story. Great.
Hi, Howard.
Hey, good morning.
What's your amazing story, man?
I was working at Delaware Park back in the day as a pony boy, and I was sitting on a pony in between races.
A pony?
Talking to one of the security guards on the back side.
All right.
Yeah?
And, you know, hey, man, how's it going? He says, oh, all right, I don't know. My daughter, she's hanging out with some rock and roll guitar player. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, as we all know, in retrospect, that was Eddie Van Halen.
Wow. Whoa.
Wait, did you find out at that moment, or did it just end of my daughter's dating some rock and roll guy?
No, he didn't know who he was. He says, she's hanging out with some rock and roll guy.
And then when was it when you finally put all the pieces together? How long after?
Last week.
Oh, years later.
Years
you know,
later, okay.
You know, she married him and... You know, put two and two together.
Looking awful cloudy up there. I don't know when the weather's going to be like the rest of the day. Going to spit a little bit. Anyway, I got to go get some lunch.
No, that it's
thanks, Howard.
It's funny when you have
appreciate
those.
Because
as a kid, I remember the tales that, and you talked about this, Preston, about, you know who lives in town?
Mm-hmm.
You know what celebrities are in the area? It almost never panned out.
Yeah.
You know, but dude, it's this stuff that was always sort of pretty exciting.
His story, Howard, reminded me of what was the movie with Julia Roberts in England, Notting Hill, where the guy that he works with goes, you know, I saw Ringo Starr one time. he was right down the street. He's like, actually, it could have been somebody else. Not really a great anecdote, is it?
Hey, the old guy that married Courtney Stodden, Doug Hutchinson, he's from Dover.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So you guys got
could say he's one of the stars of The Green Mile.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He was Percy in The Green Mile.
Are they still married?
No.
No.
In fact, I remember watching the YouTube video the day after they broke up of Courtney Stodden walking across the parking lot crying.
Is she doing straight up porn now or no?
No.
Okay.
No, she's done solo stuff.
Okay.
And how old is she? Like 20?
Full on pornography.
She's about 25 now. 24.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, Joe Biden was born in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
Scranton. But he met most
he's,
of his career.
He's most associated with Delaware.
Yeah, exactly. Out of Delaware.
Get up.
You guys have any famous people come out of your?
Justin Guarini.
Justin.
He's from Levittown.
Doylestown. Bucks County.
So my general area would have been Rosie O'Donnell, Bob Costas.
Long Island had a lot of...
Yeah.
The Long Island Lolita.
Come on. Jerry Seinfeld, Massapequa. Jerry Seinfeld, the Baldwins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fair amount.
Okay, but I was blown away by the fact that I'm sure it's old news to Delawareans, but I think that needs to be celebrated, that Bob Marley called Delaware home for a
There needs to be a plaque of commemoration at that Chrysler factory, if it's still there or whatever's there.
Yeah.
I think it's, and I'm glad they're doing the festival.
Yeah.
There's no way that Chrysler factory is still there. No way.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. let's see, 14 famous people from Delaware.
We're still on this?
Well, Marissa just handed me this list. So
it's just in.
Most of these we already said. So we had Aubrey Plaza, Terry Polo, Ryan Phillippe, Elena Del Don.
Della Don. She's a basketball player.
Yeah. Judge Reinhold, we mentioned. Delino DeShields, who played baseball.
Yeah, I think he was on the Expos. Delino.
Delino is how you said it? Okay, Delino. Joe Biden, it says, yeah. Chuck Wicks is a country singer. And he was... raised on a potato farm in Smyrna.
Y'all know my story.
Smyrna.
Raised on a potato farm in Smyrna. Here I'm singing for you good people.
He starred with then-girlfriend Juliana Hoff on the 8th season of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Valerie Bertinelli, we already said. Paul Goldschmidt is a first baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Paul Goldschmidt used to hang out with Valerie Bertinelli's father.
Born in Wilmington. Sean Patrick Thomas, we mentioned him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. George Thorogood, Elizabeth Shue, and it says Stephen Marley. So he was born, I guess.
Stephen Marley is younger, older? Which
younger.
Okay.
He's the son of Bob Marley.
Right. Skip. They're Skip, Happy, and Biff.
Yeah. If Elizabeth Shue is from Delaware, wouldn't her brother Andrew Shue then be from Delaware?
I don't know. Maybe their family moved by the time he was born, because he's younger than her, right?
I don't know.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And she's got something new coming up. I just saw it the other day, Elizabeth Shue. But I don't remember what it was.
Battle of the Sexes? Death Wish? Death Wish.
No, Death Wish is already out. You talk about the Bruce Willis reboot. The
What about Adventures in Babysitting, where she could actually be the mother this time, right?
Well, you know, they did a reworking of that Disney, yeah.
Yep.
Which was cute. Wasn't as good as the original, but.
And Andrew Hsu was born in Wilmington.
Aha! I don't know why I just did that. But just
because how you get exciting news like that, you can't contain yourself.
You were moved. All right, I was going to go on to a variety of stories.
But we ripped the lid off this one.
We just dove right into Delaware. We dovered into Delaware. Here, hang on. Let me go to Otto.
Is it Bob Marley?
Otto, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I have heard many people say that Dave Grohl has a house right outside of Rehoboth.
Dave Grohl has a house outside of Rehoboth?
Yeah, they say that he like vacations there, and that
really?
Yeah, and he that might. In August you'll see him around Rehoboth.
I've heard that that a number of celebrities have more secluded places in and around Rehoboth. Is that just fiction, or is that
no,
true?
No, I think it's true. Like, there's pictures of people that have ran into him. There was a story from a couple years ago where he like ran into a huge fan, and he ended up buying her a case of beer at the liquor store.
No kidding.
I like that. Well, that's
from
cool.
Virginia, right? So
yeah, Alexandria.
That's in Delaware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. After the Philly show, my wife made me walk around several blocks trying to look for him. We thought he was going to show up.
Oh, that's funny.
Vacation that week after the Philly show.
Okay.
Yeah. Weren't there people like? Wasn't Springsteen walking around down at the
yeah,
shore?
Down Wildwood.
Wildwood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
One of his kids has an equestrian thing going on there.
You know what you'd have to do if you were like a. What's the word? A busker. And you just have to learn a bunch of Foo Fighters and Nirvana songs and just play them all day long out on a boardwalk somewhere and you know, on the chance that Dave might come walking by.
And sue you.
And sue you for everything that you're worth.
There's a place in Montauk that does live music. I was there over 4th of July and they do live music on Tuesday night. So, you know, we went on Tuesday night and it wasn't anything special. The week later, obviously, when we were not there, Chad Smith got up and played with the band.
Oh,
that's cool.
I was like, damn it, I missed it by a week.
Oh, man. He's a nice guy, too.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Anyhow, this has been Delaware, as we didn't know it, on the Preston and Steve Show. We hardly knew ye.
That was the most interesting Delaware documentary I've not watched.
I wish there was a Delaware song of some sort that was worth
something. What's going to be better than the Pennsylvania song?
Nothing. Yeah. And maybe there is some kind of Delaware tribute song out there that we're not aware of. We didn't know Bob Marley was from Delaware.
I would certainly, if you're going to pick a state song from Delaware now, go with Marley.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, thank you for listening. We have to take a break, and I would like to give you some beer. I have a case of Yards Brawler 16-ounce cans that I can give to you. Caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Local favorites, Philly Pale Ale, Brawler, and IPA are now available in cans. Go to yardsbrewing.com to schedule a brewery tour at their new location on 5th and Spring Garden. And you can pick up a case of cans at Total Wine and More on Neyman's Road in Claymont, Delaware.
Hey!
Just talking about Total Wine. So call right now, number 12. You get the beer, 215-263-WMMR. What?
Nothing.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. We got the B-file. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Honey Tiger. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Honey Tiger, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family & Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Oh, what did Delaware, boy? What did Delaware?
Wow.
Is he saying "Wuck it, Delaware"?
Suck it, Delaware.
What did Delaware?
Oh,
what?
Oh.
It's the old joke.
Suck it, Delaware.
She wore her new
suck it, Delaware.
Oh, Jella.
She wore her new jersey, boys. She wore her new jersey.
Play it.
I want to know all that.
Delaware. I thought it was suck it, Delaware.
It sounded like that.
Boy, it started from the beginning.
I thought it was "What's in Delaware."
No. Play it.
Oh, what did Delaware, boy?
Suck it, Delaware.
What did Delaware, boy?
Suck
to Delaware. She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. That's what she did wear. One, two, three.
Hang on, I gotta see where this goes.
Oh, why did California? Why did California?
Why did California?
Why did California?
Why did California? California.
Oh, why did California?
It's a whole lot of state puns in this song.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. You know who that is?
She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. She wore a brand new jersey. That's all I got.
You know that? You guys know who that is?
Who is it?
It's Perry Como.
Oh, my God.
Why did California?
Because
it says so on the phone.
Sang this in
a Preston is such a fan.
Perry
Como. My God, that's Perry Como. I actually know some Perry Como songs.
Good try.
Yeah. Well, it's a good day for coming along. Yes, it's a great day for singing a song.
That's the only Perry Como song.
Did you know that Nick used to sing this song in elementary school?
Did you?
I sure did. Yes. Yeah.
Along, she called to say hello.
Why sing it, Nick?
That's okay.
Okay.
Yes, she called to say Hawaii.
All state puns.
Oh, Hawaii.
Hawaii. Yeah.
Hawaii. All right. Okay. Did everybody get enough of that?
Yep.
She's right. Indianapolis. She's Indiana.
I have, if that wasn't weird enough.
That's pretty weird.
Casey, move that along.
I'm moving along.
I have bizarre file stories. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I've got that song in my head now.
And it is brought to you this morning by Gottschall's Turkey Bacon. And you can cook out and eat lighter with Gottschall's Real Meat, Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. 94% fat-free and 80% less fat than most pork bacon. Discover hundreds of recipes at Gottschall's.com. A New Jersey teenager fended off a man armed with a knife who tried to rob him on Monday afternoon by spraying the bandit in the face with a power washer.
Oh, that would hurt.
Yes, it would.
I actually accidentally ran one across my foot.
I
was wearing a sneaker. I was power washing the deck.
Did it cut you?
It left a mark. It hurt bad.
If you are on bare skin, it can cut you.
Yeah.
If you're up close. The teen was in his driveway in Absecon about 2:45 in the afternoon when the robber approached him with a closed folding pocket knife. And the robber then fled through the neighboring yards after he got the face full of water. Police said he was wearing a dark hooded sweatshirt, black gloves, dark colored long shorts or pants. Someone spotted a man matching his description, but they are still looking for him.
That'd make a hell of a weapon.
Yeah, it would. 37-year-old Todd Shell had just been released from the Banner Desert Hospital in Arizona after having a heat-related health issue on Tuesday. He apparently had to walk home, but thought the better of it, and he stole an ambulance from the hospital bay area while the crew was dropping off another patient. Now, the police used GPS. They tracked down the ambulance. They found him driving down US 60. Police said Shell told them that he wanted to buy a sandwich, but he needed to go home and get some money first, and it was too hot to walk. And he stole the ambulance. But he said he was going to bring it back.
It sort of implied that you're allowed to take an ambulance if you need to purchase a sandwich. It's just not said.
Shell faces charges of unlawful use of transportation and unlawful flight from law enforcement.
I think the issue for them, Preston, is that ambulances are often used to transport people who are sick or injured.
The ambulance was not damaged and returned to be used in service. An Iowa woman who was ticketed for speeding in Nebraska perhaps didn't take the citation seriously. So she gets at the traffic stop. They stop her. They give her this citation. And then as she was leaving, deputies clocked her driving at 142 miles an hour after she left the traffic
stop. So what's she driving?
She's driving a Mustang.
A Mustang. There you go.
So sheriff's office say the 31-year-old woman was eventually arrested on suspicion of willful reckless driving after deputies caught up with her for a second time early Saturday.
She had a Prius with nitrous.
They first stopped her in a 2018 Ford Mustang around 1 a.m. Saturday after it was recorded driving 92 in a 75-mile-an-hour zone.
Jeez.
The driver was cited and told that she could leave, but she took off at a speed. And so immediately they're like, there she goes. So they went and followed her, and they clocked her at 142. That is insanely fast on a highway.
What's the fastest you've ever gone
on a highway? About 120. And that was
me too. And I had no idea I was doing it.
It was crazy. I was terrified. It was when I had that Lamborghini
for
24 hours, and I got it up that fast, and I'm like, this is crazy. This and that was on. That was at like 4:30 in the morning on the Northeast Extension. Nobody's out there, and even then, I'm like, "What am I doing? This is insane."
I've only gone like just over 100, just to say that I've gone over 100.
Right,
Kathy,
right.
Have you ever gone over 100
in the parking lot? Yeah,
you behind the wheel, not like as a passenger.
Yeah,
dude, she drives. You ever seen her? You ever followed her?
No.
Yeah,
you
can't follow her.
Dad was a race car driver. He taught me how to drive.
Mm-hmm. All right, who needs the Met Ball when the perfect heist has been right before our very eyes all this time? And that would be stuffing as many pricey pairs of Lululemon leggings into a tote bag as possible and then just waltzing out of the store. And that's pretty much what happened with three women did recently at a Fresno store. Now, wait till you hear what they got away with. The women were calm. They didn't speak. They didn't fight. They walked to the back of the store. They scooped up as many leggings as they could. They put them in their bags, and then they walked out. A customer said, "We were all in a daze. The manager was just trying to keep everything calm, saying it's okay." The leggings are among the most expensive item in the store, averaging about $100 each. They have said that they got away with an estimated $17,000 worth of Lululemon leggings.
No. $17,000 worth of leggings. So they're $100 a pair, Kathy?
Yeah, I saw the video of it. And
what
yeah.
makes them so extraordinarily wonderful?
Lululemon?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just an expensive brand.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it quality?
Yeah. It's,
really good quality?
Do they have superheroes on them?
No, they don't have superheroes on them.
Police believe they could be responsible for more thefts. They say the cop said staying calm and doing nothing was exactly the right move by the customers and the employees. What's more, though, the authorities think that the heist was part of a full-on crime ring. They believe that it's related to a crew that has hit Lululemon in the Bay Area. There was a similar incident at a Berkeley Lululemon on July 20th. And apparently they're easy to move. They're easier to move than other higher priced items that you might steal. It's just easy to resell that stuff.
And I mean, maybe they have like a no chase policy or something like that. There was an episode of Atlanta where I think it was Atlanta where they walked into a shoe store. Dude just put the shoes on and walked out like nothing. And he's like, they can't chase.
Store policy is to not chase. Yeah.
And what are you going to do? There was three of them that walked in. You know what I mean?
And is it worth you as an employee?
And your safety.
They might be armed. You don't know. And they walk in, they just take over. We're looking at the security camera footage. They sure enough cleaned them out. So, wow. Here's another interesting theft of sorts. Wildlife officials in Arizona said that toads are being stolen from a conservation area and the thieves are believed to be planning to lick them.
Oh, okay, for the hallucinogenic effect?
The Spur Cross Conservation Area's official Facebook page posted footage showing multiple people taking Sonoran desert toads late into the night. Yeah. The thieves are likely planning to lick the animals, which induces hallucinogenic effects similar to DMT.
Wow.
The case has since been turned over to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office to seek charges, including violation of the park's posted hours and vandalism as well. Let's end with a cute story, shall we? A mama duck in Minnesota has captured hearts across the nation after a photographer snapped an image of her leading an astonishing 76 ducklings across a lake.
Wow.
It's adorbs, folks.
Totes adorbs?
Super duper cutie amazeballs.
Does it border on amazeballs?
Yes, it does. Amateur wildlife photographer Brent Sizek noticed the exceptional common merganser, which he now calls mama merganser. This is a type of bird. Look at this. Look at the picture.
It almost looks like debris floating on the water.
There's a better photo. That's not the one this guy took. There's a really good close-up shot. It was during a photo session on Lake Bemidji.
Are we led to believe that all of these are this duck's progeny?
Well, it says, while it's not uncommon to see a troop of 20 or so ducklings line up behind a single hen, 76 of them is another story.
Is this the octomom of ducks?
Sizek said it was mind-blowing. He said, I didn't know a duck could care for that many chicks. An earlier photo of the same bird was featured by the National Audubon Society, a story that explained that ducks sometimes put their eggs in other nests.
Oh.
And that separated ducklings sometimes cling to ducks that look like their mothers. Still, it's not quite sure how Mama Merganser amassed such an impressive brood.
So this is like Mrs. Garrett duck.
Yeah, a typical common merganser usually has a small flock of about 10 ducklings. The species is found in all seasons near lakes in parts of northern Minnesota. But it's
amazing. Adorable. It is. Yeah. It's totes adorbs.
All right, and that is what I have for you this morning. in the B file. Let us take a break. Let us come back in just a moment. Am I doing another one of those?
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah, we got so much today,
man. All right, Zoe's Kitchen. They're here, like I said, this morning, and they're serving up fantastic food. I have a $50 gift card for caller number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. Make sure you check out zoeskitchen.com to find one of the locations near you. They're fantastic. So we'll continue to share the love this morning. A lot of other things to give away, too. We'll come back in a moment, and Jesse May Peluso should be here in just a second. Stay with us.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or anti-social...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Thank you, Kathy. Apparently, we have lots of food when our next guest comes by. Because she came in, she was in the green room, and I'm like, you know, you want some Zoe's Kitchen? She's like, you guys had barbecue last night. Please welcome Jesse May Peluso. To Philadelphia.
Yeah. I was telling your guys out there that I measure everything in life by food.
Yes, we agree. Oh, that's the way to do it.
It really is. And you have such a spread out there.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this, like dating. When in the initial stages of dating or whatever, all social stuff eventually revolves around meals of some sort.
You just feed.
And that's it.
Yeah, because if you don't know what to say, you just shove some corn on the cob in your face.
Right. It cuts off the conversation.
That's how you get a husband.
But if you have a drink in your hand, like, I find that I'll get drunk.
You get quicker. Lit.
If you're talking to somebody and when you don't have anything to say, you just take a drink.
Yeah, because you're like, well, I can't talk because something's in my mouth.
Right, yeah. There's a corn on the cob in your mouth, and it's obvious.
I think you're flirting.
It's filleting the corn on the cob.
Hey, I want to hit this off the top. She's going to be at Punchline tonight. There's a show at 7:30, and then tomorrow night, 7:30 and 9:45. And Jesse May's you're very energetic on stage.
I'm energetic in life, but on stage specifically, it's just fun. I'm just like a crazy physical comedian.
Do you do that? Because I liken you to Insensibility and your certain pursuits to Doug Benson, who is much more sedate on stage. And because you both,
looks catatonic most of the time.
Yeah, you're both cannabis aficionados.
Yeah.
You're well versed in all things, and yet we love him to death. He's a friend of the show, but there are times when he's just there. We had him out to Hershey Park one time for a broadcast. His eyes were like Dracula red.
Oh my God.
Yep. But you are very up and sharp. You know, sharp.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on what you want the cannabis to do.
Yeah.
You can manipulate it if you know how. You can manipulate it so you're not a couch potato. I don't like to be a couch potato.
Is that sativa you've been smoking?
Well, you know, that's a whole misconception.
Do tell.
Well, sativa and indica don't really indicate one sort of outcome. Like if you're
really
smoking indica, you get tired. If you're smoking sativa, you get higher. That's not really it's sort of like a fallacy in the industry.
Okay.
All depends on your own body. We have an endocannabinoid system in our body that responds to THC in different ways. So if you smoke and you're paranoid when you go into it, you're going to be paranoid because you're just reflecting. It's a reflective medicine, really.
I find those. I don't indulge. However, I always have preferred to be around people doing pot over drinking because they become cantankerous.
Yeah.
A lot of them become, it'll bring out your demons, where I think cannabis will mitigate a lot of the things that might be more arch about someone's personality.
Yeah.
And so I'm also just fascinated by the culture.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I agree. I'd rather hang around some pothead than Drunkle Joe.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hang out with Drunkle Joe at the barbecue. He gets a little too handsy, you know? It's like, back up, bud. Uh-huh. Back up. You're my dad's brother. Back up.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just wrong on so many levels.
And then comes in the corn on the cob and we move away.
Right. That is, it's very ugly. You do a Facebook Live show called Weeds Day, right?
I do. I just did it with my mom yesterday. What's today? 2 days ago.
Does your mom indulge?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. She tries to act, you know, she's very proper, Nancy. That's what we sound like in Syracuse.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what the Philly accent is, but you guys
have an accent,
right?
It's close. It's close.
Ours is a little more nasally, but she's like, hi, and I don't want people to know what my
well, my things are. I'm like, Nance, you've had like 4 boxes of wine this morning. The neighbors know. It's out in the recycles. Like, yeah. The neighbors know. But she puffed a little bit, yeah.
Really?
She did.
What did she think of it?
She likes it. She has lupus. So
that helps.
Autoimmune, inflammatory.
Yeah, my sister has that, yeah.
And that can be brutal. That can be very really painful. Mm-hmm. But the cannabis definitely helps reduce inflammation and calm her down and all that good stuff.
My parents spent about half their year in Colorado where it's legal recreationally and medicinally. Yeah. And I've, over the last few years, talked to them much more openly about marijuana. I'm going to see them soon. And Casey asked me recently, like, will you smoke with them? You know, and I the answer is I have no idea. But my parents are now in their 70s and really open about pot. And it's this whole, I'm 43. It's a really new and strange dynamic for me in my life because I don't quite know how to approach it. It's been illegal and sort of forbidden for so long, and now it's not anymore.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. We call it the green rush. You know, everyone's trying to get in on it from a commercial standpoint. Sure. Everyone's trying to, like, make their money with it now. And I think just, we're going to realize how beneficial the plant is. It helps with opiate addiction. It helps with alcohol addiction. It helps PTSD, all sorts of autoimmune diseases, like I mentioned before. It's really a medicine. Like, sure, if you want to smoke a whole blunt and be useless on the couch, do you.
Yeah.
But, like, you're also not contributing to society. So, like, there's a way to balance it out and use it.
I think even listen, again, I don't use it. I don't have any desire to, but I have people all around me who do, and that's totally fine.
Steve,
but
I saw you hotboxing your truck in the parking lot.
Okay, you caught me.
The second time you told me you haven't done it. You say it a third time. We all know you're lying.
That I'm mainlining heroin. But no, to that point, though, you know, I think even the people who are the most have been stridently against it have to see that there are I witnessed it in my own life. My mother was ill with cancer, and the one thing that provided pain relief was it. So, but it's funny to watch the tangential industries pop up around it. You know, like you hear the stories about the Girl Scout who is selling cookies outside of the dispensary.
CEO, that's so smart.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, yep. Sell those cookies.
What is your food of choice? What's your munchie?
Oh, man. I make a grilled cheese sandwich, and then I butter the outside of the bread, and I dip it in some batter, and then I put Cheez-Its on it, and then I put it back on the grill.
No, you don't.
You're welcome.
Wow. How do you stay in phenomenal shape? You're in great shape.
I poop 9 times a day.
That's the key? you're incredibly continent.
Such a good system. I don't know. Like, thank you, whoever created us, created us, Mother Nature, God, whatever it is. Thank you for my system. I eat so much.
Listen, and you post some pretty sexy pictures of you on social media.
Those are called thirst traps.
Thirst traps?
Yeah, like you just post, you know, it's all about driving traffic, and I have stuff I want to talk about, and sometimes you just got to put a cute little photo up, and I can be like, hey, by the way, Alzheimer's awareness, and by the way, marijuana's good for you, and come laugh.
Whatever gets them to the dance.
Whatever you can do it. Yeah. Whatever you can
absolutely,
use.
Man.
And it's subtle, you know, it's not like blatant Instagram models where it's just like a nipple popping out. It's just, you know, like part of the booty, not the whole booty.
Wait, okay. One of your best, is it your best friend, Carly Aquilino?
She's not my best friend, but I've known her for years.
Yeah,
We did tours together. She's great. I love her. I miss her.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you guys with Girl Code and there's a whole bunch of comedians such as yourself who roll with it, who are very very out and energetic, and it's I think you guys kind of represented a shift in, you know, stand-ups who can also. Because I'm trying to think, who are the good-looking male comedians?
Zach Galifianakis.
What do you call it? Gary Goldman.
Patton Oswalt.
Gary Goldman is probably one of
I go for, like, sapiosexual. I don't go for, like, your standard looks. Standard good looks.
Sapiosexual?
Yeah. It's like mentally, I'm attracted by a mental stimulus.
Okay. All right. I've not heard that term before.
My wife loves Kevin James, right? Like, obviously.
Yeah, that's not sapiosexual. That's something else.
No, what was her dad like?
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's all traced back to the parents.
That's it, yeah. That's where the seed is planted.
Who's the who's the cute male comic?
Well, there's that insult comic. That guy.
Anthony Jeselnik.
No, not Anthony, although he's
not. He was with Amy Schumer for a while.
There's a guy who, we had him in studio. And
Colin.
Colin something.
Colin Kane.
That's it.
Yeah. Colin Kane. He looks like a serial killer. I mean, like, he's going to pop on some. Yeah.
Ted Bundy.
American Psycho.
Exactly, yeah.
Huey Lewis in the news. I'm out the Dow.
But But that's it's an anomaly. Oh, at least okay. It was an anomaly for the longest time.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see it, but that you guys go up, you have the material, it's sharp, it's funny, and it seems to transcend. Guys dig it as well as, you know, even with just with Girl Code, guys still tie into it. It's still funny stuff. It's almost like you're getting behind the lines information, you know, and from your act, guys can learn.
100%. I've had so many women come up to me afterwards and say, thank you.
Right.
Because I didn't know how to say it to my husband.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, some of my material is sexual. It's not like scatological. Like, I'm up there, I'm not just up there talking about body parts for no reason. I want to educate from what I've experienced, and sometimes, you know, through dating and stuff, you realize, oh, okay, there's a disconnect. We don't know how to talk about sex,
really?
Which is crazy. Mm-hmm. We're all having it.
Yep.
Six people are probably having it in this building right now.
Some in this room right now.
Some in this room. Right, I mean, you get some of that Mediterranean dips out there, and it gets you going.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just think, like, comedians are so important because we talk about things that make people uncomfortable. And the one thing is, people come out to shows and they get offended. Well, then you haven't dealt with something in your life. And maybe you should listen a little bit closer.
It also freaks us. We've talked about this countless times. Why would you go to see a comedian? And that should be safe haven. We've said this.
Totally.
We say it all the time, virtually every week. Why you go if you're easily offended? Why are you going?
Because you want people to know that you're offended because you don't know how to deal with what's going on in your mind. Usually, I will say this as a woman: 95% of the hecklers are women.
Really?
Yes, because they want to be heard and they don't know. You know, they're
bitches, right?
Yeah, because bitches be bitches. But it's just, you know, I think that women are finding their voice
and
finding a way to communicate without screaming. Like, you know, that's why I think it's important to, like, go out and listen and just keep your mouth closed and learn something about why you're a bitch.
All right, well, so
learn why you're a bitch.
My wife made me watch Ali Wong's latest Netflix special.
Oh, yeah.
And so because she had watched it on her own. And then I watched it and I'm sitting there watching it and she's going through all this material and I'm thinking, is my wife trying to tell me something here?
How could you not think that? Wouldn't you think that if you need to watch this?
Yeah. She's like, take notes.
Yeah.
Do you take notes, mofo? Do you have people, guys who appear to be dragged to a show because the woman knows you're going to do a bit or material that pertains to something that directly affects them?
Not necessarily, but when I'm in the middle of a bit that pertains to them, I can
see a lot of side eye and like, hello.
This is what we were talking about last week. I've had people break up. I've had people, like, get divorces afterwards.
Really?
Wow. I like to shake stuff up.
Yeah,
people
get
stuck in ruts. They don't know how to, like, really live their truth and to speak about what makes them feel insecure.
It's tough to do that. It's tough for people to step out and do that. So for you yourself, how's your dating life?
Two words, restraining order.
Really?
Against
that
you?
That was my last relationship. No, not against me. A couple years ago, I had to get one because he was
seriously
cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
I think you're the kind of woman that guys could get addicted to. You know?
Not necessarily that. I was attracting. You know, basically that was like the crescendo of all the idiots I was dating.
Okay.
You know,
the apex.
This guy, though. How long were you with him before you realized he was a nut job?
About 5 months. I was like, this is not safe.
What was the first sign?
Irrational anger.
Yeah.
Just like
explosive or just
explosive
really?
Over directions.
Wow. Really?
And I know, like, you guys get real, you know, shaky about directions. That can be just a point of contention for any relationship. But this was like,
are we talking about like turn left, turn
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And I was like, oh boy. And then you make excuses. And that's what you get into those habits when you start to date, especially as a woman. You're like, oh, he's just this. He's just this. No, you're out of your mind for dating somebody like this.
No, I could see you thinking maybe that was a one-off, that little weird thing that just happened there. And then it might happen. It might be a little while, and then it happens again. And then you're like, okay,
but
that's
then,
two.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're in the abyss, though.
Yeah, and then it went to him turning our car into oncoming traffic. And I was like, poop, I'm out the toe. Out the toe.
Wow.
I got to go get some barbecue at 6 a.m. I got to leave this situation.
I will say,
and then
though,
did he go stalker on you? Is that why you had to get the... Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing because of him, I realized, I don't have to date an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like, we think, like, we need to settle because it's not going to get any better. We don't deserve anymore. I was like, oh, no, I don't need to date him. I don't need to pay his bills. I'm good. Like, he can go back and live his life, and I'm going to date, like, a real doctor, not somebody who says they're a doctor, to get into my pants.
Right, right.
And also, what's going on with me that works? Well, you know what I mean? All about introspection.
He's a doctor. He's going to be, yeah. It's a clinical. It's not sexual.
But now I'm dating a farmer, so.
Are you?
Really?
Stop. Did you hop on the website? Did
no,
you hop? Did you
go to the website? No, I didn't hop on the website. I hopped on Snapchat and I found him. He's a
weed?
Wheat, I wish. Wheat and soybean farmer. That's a good, I probably should find a weed farmer.
Well, how does that work? Because a lot of your work is on the weekends in other areas. So.
It's long distance right now, which is amazing. I went from a stage 5 clinger to long distance. It's heaven.
Do you know what though?
Where is he?
He's in Kansas.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. No place like home. Wink, wink. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Get that corn on the cob. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, that actually, in a way, you know what? That helps you. That helps you grow the more, really, the more substantive parts of a relationship.
Exactly.
You know,
the real stuff.
The real stuff.
And he's on Farmer Time, which is like, takes forever for everything. I'm like, finish a sentence.
I'm right with you on that. I can't. It's hard to have conversations with people like that.
And I'm like, bah, 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 and he levels me out. So.
I'm the other way. Yeah.
I've been to the farmland in Kansas. You need to let things draw out as long as you possibly can because there is nothing.
There's
out
nothing,
there, man. Nothing.
Nothing. It's beautiful.
I was pulled over in Kansas years ago. I did stand up, and I was pulled over. I kid you not. It was Kansas, Nebraska for going 66 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone.
Were you pulled over by a cop on a horse?
No. But that's how boring it was, you know, the day.
Yeah.
That was the big crime of the day.
How long have you been with this guy?
A year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because earlier when you're talking about the other relationship, that 5 or 6 month period, like that's the breaking point. Like
it really is.
You're either going to stay together, and fortunately you were able to get out. But like when you're at 5 or 6 months, you know, all right, am I in this?
Yeah.
Or am
I
not in this?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, Jesse May, have you gone out, you know, because this is what he does and it's probably what he loves. Have you gone out and worked the field a little bit with him?
Well, I mean, he's worked the field for sure. But
he's plowed the field.
A lot of plowing.
John Deere realness.
We call this a wheelbarrow.
Does that turn you on? Because
that's how he got me.
A lot of people, a lot of women. There's a commercial for one of the tractor companies.
Any tractor commercial.
And
yeah.
The chick gets on the tractor.
That's
and
my
she's,
porn.
She, really?
John Deere commercials. A man who can do stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're coddling our boys and our children. Like you got to be safe. Don't hurt yourself. No, let them hurt themselves.
Yeah.
Put them out there. Throw them in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like I love a man. I love like thick knuckles. I like scars and open wounds.
Basically Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a werewolf. Like that's what I'm into. Like
good.
Somebody who can just like tear stuff up. And he sent me a photo. Like he was like communicating with me on Snapchat. He's like technically a fan, but he was sending me photos of like tractors.
Wow.
And like I saw a wheat field in the background. I was like, I'm listening. Like who is this man?
This dude had your number.
Yeah, he had like all this machinery. He just kept sending me
wild.
This girl's getting D pics. I don't want D pics. I want like a John Deere tractor.
Yeah. Wow. You know, we have it. There's a John Deere distributor right on off the turnpike.
Yeah, is there? You guys will see me just sprawled out over a combine for a couple hours in the morning.
You should get an endorsement.
I should.
Yeah. That'd be very cool.
Wow.
That is.
Well, I'm happy you're in a good, solid relationship.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Cool.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to plug a show. Jesse May's going to be at Punchline Philly tonight, by the way. I want to backtrack a second because you're from Syracuse. I'm actually going up that way to vacation in a couple of weeks.
What?
I knew you would give me that look. There's a place called Turning Stone Resort.
Oh, yeah.
Out that way. Is it nice?
Have you been there?
Uh-uh. Yeah.
I mean, bring a cooler, bud. You gotta bring a cooler from the parking lot. You can do that, you know. You can put some beers in a cooler and walk in with that sucker.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to do that.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do. Insider info.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going just to gamble?
Play golf. They've got three really great golf courses.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
There's more than... There's like a PGA.
Golf?
Yeah, there's... No, I don't play golf in a casino.
Like, you go to a grocery store to gamble? I don't know if you know how life works.
No, I'm
going to OBGYN. I have a molar I got to get removed.
We're still trying to figure out who does what.
Yeah. What's vacation for you? What's getting away? I mean, you travel all over the country as it is for work.
Yeah, we were talking about that outside, and it kind of has to exist together. Like, I just was in Beirut, Lebanon, and I treated it like a vacation even though I was doing shows.
Okay.
You kind of have to do that. And, like, I'm in this mind frame now, like, I don't really want to travel unless I'm working.
Yes. No, we, so for what we do, our work is out a lot of times at events. And right. So you end up becoming a real homebody, you
That's
know?
That's my vacation.
That's right. So,
being
so
home.
What was Beirut like? Were you doing, were you appearing at what? Was it military or what?
No, it's actually, I don't think we have a lot of troops there.
We
right
do
now.
Not.
No,
yeah.
We don't. I don't know if we have any. It's very advanced. It's really interesting. It's like a crossroads of their past, which is so war-torn, and then their future, which is them rebuilding.
So where'd you get booked? Where were you booked?
Just a producer came out and saw me when I was performing at the Ice House in Los Angeles, and he booked me and Amir Kay, Byron Bowers,
wow.
and Skylar Stone, and we all went out together and did a few shows, yeah.
It's so unique, you couldn't pass on it.
I couldn't.
Like, yeah,
it,
yeah.
It just, it was such a unique culture, and it's amazing, like, we have such a skewed idea yeah. about other cultures, especially when you mention words like Lebanon,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, which is associated with the Middle East, and we just think terrorists.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That, you really have to break that stigma because
yeah,
that
yeah.
culture's so advanced. They celebrate the American culture. They got Starbucks everywhere.
But,
they speak English like quicker than most of the people in my family.
I think a lot of people think, okay, there is it more restrictive for women or
no.
How, yeah, okay, so
no,
so.
they're like the most advanced over there. I mean,
yeah.
it's the capital of Lebanon. It's right on the coast, which makes a huge difference. I feel like coastal cities are more advanced.
Isn't Lebanon a bologna? Because that's what I think of when you say Lebanon.
Well, now I want a bologna.
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
Lebanon,
you mentioned
PA.
Meats.
Okay, yeah.
Meats are like
no, but Jesse May and I were
it
talking.
It all comes back to food, doesn't it?
It always yeah. goes back to food.
Yeah. Beirut used to be called the Paris of the Middle
yeah,
East,
yeah, and they still kind of call it that.
And I would love to go visit a place like that because it is a crossroads, and they have to deal with war, and they have to deal with conflict, but then they also are preparing for the future.
Yeah, it's a very humbling and humbled city. Like, you look at it in one place, there's this beautiful high-rise, brand-new hotel. Next to it, there's scars of war.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to see that as a human, to see what it takes for a city to rebuild and give it a shot, you
and
know?
People who invariably travel a lot and travel to those areas come back and appreciate here a little bit
oh,
more.
Oh, yeah.
Put in context, how did the material port?
It was good,
yeah.
really good. They
you got
were
a good
just,
reception?
Yeah, they were just so open and so smart and hip and educated on our culture.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool.
It's people who travel a lot, and a lot of comedians will say they're surprised. I mean, the culture here is sort of the pervasive culture,
yeah.
pop culture at least. They're very pop culture aware.
I mean, the fact that everyone everywhere knows Kim Kardashian is the biggest American failure ever.
The biggest American
failure. It's just
failure.
The biggest American failure because
yeah.
she's filled with like Juvederm. She's like 72% Juvederm.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Her sister's a billionaire for lipstick. It's like, what the F did we
well,
do?
Please, and I don't know if you're going to echo this, but Kylie Jenner approaching the billion-dollar mark started with a lip kit when she had surgically enhanced lips. So it's the ultimate
I can't
bizarre.
It's not
thing.
Bizarre. It's criminal. It's criminal
yeah.
that these girls have so much influence and they use it for lipstick.
Yeah.
Lipstick. When you've got girls who wake up in the morning and they can't stand their natural face,
yeah.
and they look at someone who's the youngest billionaire in our culture,
yeah.
who doesn't even have her normal effing face,
yes.
and that's our stereotype, that's our archetype for women, no wonder women don't love themselves.
She doesn't even resemble her own
no.
childhood photo.
She doesn't.
No.
She looks closer to her butthole now than she does her face. And I mean that nicely.
Yeah.
I got a nice butthole.
Do you ever watch this show? I have no doubt. Yeah. Do you ever watch this show Botched on E?
I was addicted to that for a hot minute. It's so fascinating.
I got into it just, they had a marathon the other night. And I was telling these guys about it.
Oh.
And then you have these people. Would you ever get involved? It seems to be, Preston and I were out there.
Anxiety.
You just sink into this. It seems to be this addiction.
It is an addiction.
And these people have... They walk in, they're looking like they walked off Jupiter.
Yeah.
Which you're being nice.
Yeah.
But if you've ever come face to face in real life with a person like that, it's actually haunting. It's scary. Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by it because that's all surface. Like, that's all Band-Aid.
Yeah, yeah,
anytime
yeah.
those people are getting stuff done, they're just putting a Band-Aid on a wound on the inside.
It's body dysmorphia.
It really
yeah.
is.
Maybe that's
I want to hug them all.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of the appeal from the guy from Kansas, too, is that it's outside of that culture and the hairy knuckles and, you know, it's a lot less
Juvederm. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, nice guys are out there.
She said big knuckles, not hairy.
Yeah.
knuckles, not, man.
Well, hit Big and Hairy Hello, home run.
There you go.
Like, big here's my phone number.
So, wait, do you like a really hairy chest and all that? Are you into that?
Yeah, yeah. Just, like, seriously, like, you're somewhere on the evolutionary chart closer to the chimps and the apes.
do you catch crap from other women?
Crap?
Yeah, for being...
I hope I don't have crabs.
Not crabs. Crap from other women for that classic, you know, want the manly man sort of thing.
Not a
metrosexual guy.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. Like, my dad's a big, like, man. Yeah. You know, he's like a Sicilian man.
Sure.
Big hand. So I think you always kind of go towards that. If you were lucky enough to have a good father,
you just
want that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, not that I ever wanted to bone my dad. I'm just saying.
No, your uncle. Your uncle's the one hitting
Joe.
On you.
Yeah, Uncle Joe. That was my boyfriend growing up.
Handsy.
Yeah, so my wife's father is the kind of guy that can do it all. He can build your home and fix your car and all that stuff. And so poor her married me, and I don't know how to do any of it.
Yeah, like, you do. You know how to do some. You can put away a bologna sandwich.
Yes, I can. I can put away
No, you know what he's doing, though? He's teaching himself, as we all do. You know, like, I picked up my first super-duper... I picked up a hammer drill. I'm doing home improvements.
Yeah.
I'm getting there, man.
Yeah, I like to go walk up and down Home Depot aisles and just sniff. You know, because there's so much pheromones just floating around from previous manly man's ghosts.
Does an orange smock turn you on?
An orange smock?
Yeah, like they wear there.
No, not the workers. Those people making $10 an hour? No, the guy who's sweating building a house.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
I
hear
you.
Addition.
She goes down to the contractor side.
The contractor side, yeah.
Yeah, where there's nuts and bolts and 2x4s.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, anybody need a wife?
I fixed the toilet the other day. It was such a sense of accomplishment, and like it's a really simple thing to do.
Yeah,
but I felt like I was a man, and I'm not.
Oh,
no,
but
you're
I felt
manly.
Like it for a moment.
I've got a picture of my
toilet, and I feel very womanly when I do that.
I took a picture of my Milwaukee drill on my phone to show people. So apparently I chose properly.
That's a hot drill.
It's got a light on it, so that if you're in the dark,
drilling at night, you are. I don't need any light.
Night
I'm
drilling.
I'm gonna drill.
It's got the magnet thing.
Yeah, it's got a magnet too.
I'm
magnet.
Drilling at night.
Well,
so dark.
Men, you don't know. You don't know.
You have no idea.
What if the lights go out and you've got to fix a shelf?
That's a whole other level of manliness I didn't even know existed. You're building a house at night. Oh my lord!
Absolutely.
I just ovulated.
Wow. It's amazing. Amazing what will turn Jesse May on.
I want to meet this farmer eventually.
I do too. Yeah.
Amazing.
Hopefully
you
go the distance, you guys. All right, well, listen, Jesse May is going to be at Punchline tonight. There's one show at 7:30. Get those tickets. They'll be gone quick. And then tomorrow night, 7:30 and 9:45, and you go to punchlinephilly.com. And you're lucky. We get like a break in the weather this weekend, so it's going to be good. It's been raining for nonstop.
It's been raining like crazy. Stop.
So you're going to love it. Thank you for coming in, Jesse.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Wonderful to see you, Jesse.
And ladies.
Peluso. It's here for. We're going to take a break. We will be right back. Make sure that you stay with us because we have more guests coming up.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Thank you very much, Kath. We are excited. Our next guest is going to be here in our studio. She's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and through the weekend. We've had her husband here many times.
Yes.
And we welcome Bonnie McFarlane.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you for mentioning my husband in the opening because it was in our wedding vows.
That's part of the agreement.
Anytime we're on radio,
mention.
The other one.
All right.
Rich Voss.
Rich Voss. Well, we were just talking before we came on, and I saw the trailer for the roast.
RichVoss.com. Go see that.
Yeah.
VossRoast.com.
VossRoast.com. And it just the trailer's freaking hilarious. And we were talking about this. We talk about these roasts, which are done sort of like on a conveyor belt with people that really don't know the roastee and are not really in the grand tradition of the old Friars Club roast. The people roasting the roastee were friends and had things, and there was anecdotal stuff, and it meant a lot more. And that's the case with this roast. Did you have a fun time doing it? It looked like it was a blast.
It was awful.
It was awful.
No, it was. this was the thing. It was his 60th birthday.
Yeah.
So he said, "I said, what do you want for your 60th birthday?" He said, "How about a roast?" Because.
That's a good impression.
Doesn't everyman want to roast for himself? So I just started, you know, asking his friends if they could do it. And, you know, he has his friends are the greatest roasters in the world. Judy Gold is on it. I'm the roast master.
And you're,
I'm the roast master president of this. Whatever roast. Jeff Ross is, I'm the one up.
I'm looking at, we have Joe DeRosa. And by the way, Joe's from this area. If you were to look at Joe, he just kind of looks like he's either your pharmacist or your accountant, but the dude's material is dirty.
Yeah. He killed on this thing. He's fantastic. Colin Quinn was great. Jim Florentine was incredible. Jim Norton.
Norton, everybody just, and you, I mean, I haven't seen the whole thing. I definitely want to see the whole thing, but everyone.
You did pretty good for a girl.
You did damn good
for a girl.
Hey, no,
all right, so you and I were talking about roasts out in the green room, and I do love them, and I got a question about, all right.
I'm excited. What's the question?
Well, they're mean, right? So, like,
yes.
But they're also funny. So where does mean automatically mean funny?
But they're loving it.
No, I could be mean to you right now. I've got a lot going on, but I don't know if I can make it funny right now. No, it's, you know, this is the thing. This is how we interact as comedians. We show our love by being mean to one another, you know. So when you're sitting at the Comedy Cellar table sometimes, it's just brutal. And I don't know how people decide, but at some point, all of a sudden, you look around, you're like, oh, my God, I'm the target, you know. And everyone, I remember time getting bashed so hard at the Comedy Cellar table. Just everyone was, and they're laughing so hard, and you're laughing, but at some point, you're like fake laughing because it's starting to hurt. Then you get in the car, and you think, is that what people think of me?
Is it hard to work into, let's say, an inner circle of a comedy club? Because
that's like the Algonquin Round Table. That's a legendary.
But you have to make sure.
You have to pull the sword, my friend.
We have to make sure that somebody's not going to get offended by it, and then take it to a new level. Do you know what I mean?
Oh no, people get offended. Believe me, people get offended. I've seen men cry and leave, stomp out, storm out. Yeah, no, and sometimes no one's laughing, and someone's just going in hard on someone else, and then it's so uncomfortable. It's just like the tension is awful.
Have you ever seen the roastee leave? I mean, the person who is the, you know.
Being, the person.
No kidding. Okay, because everybody's kind of, I'm talking about at a roast. You know?
Oh, at a roast.
Yeah,
no.
Sorry.
No.
Okay, all right.
But like, just.
But just in the. Well, in the hang.
Yes, in the hang, I've seen it get really ugly.
But I mean, that, as you talk about, that's sort of the way, and that's an expression of love as well, that someone takes the time to write material, as you can see in this.
Yes,
in Rich's roast. That it comes from a place of love, that they sat down. These are all working comedians who have careers, you yourself, obviously, and took time to devote to, you know, by getting surgically vicious, I think shows a little extra love, if that makes any sense.
I mean, it's funny because, like, Colin would call me months in advance and be like, what do you think of this? Do you think anybody's doing about that? You know, everybody was going. I mean, people took it very seriously. And, you know, at some point I said, we have to film this.
Yes. You know? Thank God you did.
Yeah. Because also in the Comedy Cellar, we sold 100 tickets just to sort of pay for the cost of the night.
Right.
But all the rest of the seats were his friends, like other comedians and stuff. So it just like had this energy, you know, people who really.
I love it.
Got it and understood it. And it was just really a lot of fun.
Did he get offended at all?
The only thing Rich was offended by is that he's scared that. He wanted to go up first to make sure everyone would see him. You know, he didn't. He's last. He's so worried that people aren't going to watch the roast to the end.
The roastie is always the last. The roastie is always the last. So you can't break protocol.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll just go up a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
No.
That's
not how this is going to work.
Well, Bonnie, you talked about filming it. Does adding cameras change the dynamic at all?
It didn't in this case because I don't think people believed it was real.
He thought it was fake.
People were like, I don't think any of this is ever going to get on anything. Well, which is kind of true. I mean, it's, you know, it's some.
Because you react a little bit differently if you know that you're being filmed.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, these guys would amp it up a little bit. Well, I think it would only be
positive. They've been
in front
of cameras. They've all had specials. They're not strangers to it.
I'm not saying that they're strangers to it. I'm saying that when you're being roasted and somebody's coming after you, you may temper your reaction a little bit, knowing that there's a camera in the room.
That's a good point.
Or you may laugh it up a little bit more, saying, I don't want to be filmed crying right now.
Right.
So I'm just curious as to whether or not that...
Well, you know,
and the
in the moment, it's so fun and funny. It's like, and plus, I mean, I was drinking heavily. I got a lot of jokes at my expense, you know. One of the things Jim Florentine said was that, you know, Bonnie's Canadian and she came to America to fulfill the American dream, which is come to America and get stupid rich. Or something, you know. maybe I butchered that, but it's a very funny joke, everybody.
I know what he says it in the trailer, so it's
yes, yeah, he's
so it's
a, funny, he's yeah. A, yeah.
Right. But I
just kept getting trashed, and it wasn't until I went to do the editing that I started to get slightly offended.
you're
having to hear it over and over. You're like, Jesus, I get it.
You're a filmmaker, you're a director. Women Aren't Funny is which I love, by the way.
Thank you. You
went around to a whole bunch of if you've never seen the documentary, you should check it out, and it's candid. You interview comedians who are being straight up honest. Some of them don't think women can be funny, and others.
Well, that's the funny thing. When I started making that documentary, I went to an actual documentary filmmaker and asked him, you know, some advice, and he said the problem you're going to have is there's nobody's going to go on camera saying women aren't funny. And I was like, I don't know if you know my friends.
I
had no shortage of it. And I would go in not knowing, like, I didn't know what Doug Stanhope was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, he could fall on either side of that. And he was pretty much women aren't funny.
But also the little throwaways of you and Rich just traveling those little moments with you as a family. Do you enjoy that process or is it?
No, I don't like Rich, so that's
the problem.
Yeah, no, he goes. We go on separate, you know.
Yeah,
but I'm here this weekend with my daughter and my dog.
Really?
So I bring the whole thing with me.
Okay.
Is the same daughter that hacked your Twitter the other day?
No, that's a different daughter.
Okay.
What happened there?
I traded her in.
she wrote my daughter's really cool or something like
she's,
that.
She's She hacks into my accounts all the time and puts stuff.
That's got to be wild. So for them, as you know, growing up, and you have both parents are comedians, and I mean, do you are you cool if they go into the business?
Yes, let her do it. You know, I think the worst thing that can happen is that your kid gets into a field that you're not interested in, because then you have to hear about it so much. I wouldn't mind just gossiping about comedy.
Yeah, right.
How old is she?
She's going to, between 5 and 10.
Okay, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Have you listened to Big
Jay's? At least you're close.
I see her from at a profile.
Under 20.
Have you listened to Big Jay Oakerson's latest crowd work album?
He's the most genius comedian working today.
One of the funniest ongoing jokes is after he goes like really, really dirty, he's like, my 15-year-old daughter's here. And she, I think, is trying to follow in his footsteps as well. I'm not sure if that's
I didn't know that.
At least he kind of helps her out and
you
stuff.
You remember Florentine put his kid on stage at our event not that long ago. The kid's probably 10 years old, 10, 11.
It so much, which I think is wrong. I think if kids are going to get into showbiz, they should be pushed.
Yeah.
Something unnatural.
Genuine love
for it. Yes, I don't think they should want.
So you're saying against their will is the best way.
I think how I prefer it.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
I wanted to ask you, because you had your book, You're Better Than Me.
Yeah.
And it was Anthony Bourdain, how does he figure into that? Was he published?
Anthony Bourdain became a friend of mine. I did a roast.
Right.
Where he was the
roastee.
Guy being roasted.
Yeah.
And that's how I met him.
He put you guys on his show, you and Rich.
Yeah. And then right after I did that roast, I went to lunch with him and his agent.
Yeah.
I can't even say the word.
Yeah.
How bitter I am. he asked me at that lunch if I would write a book, because he has an imprint my publisher.
yeah.
But it was, he said, I've never met a woman who had a voice like yours before, you know?
Right.
And all he knew of me was me being mean to him.
Yeah.
At a roast. So ever since then, I sort of felt the need to be mean to him. I just didn't want him to be disappointed in me.
And he sort of expected it. But it's just wild.
He wrote once, he goes, "Your book is amazing. You're very talented." And I wrote back something I can't say. I just realized.
Can you paraphrase? Spell it? No, you can't. But
I said something your mom.
Okay.
it was a great episode that you guys were on, though. It was a New Jersey-based one. And,
yes.
And so we spent time in Atlantic City. I think it's where he had you and Rich on. And mm-hmm. he also, in that episode, went to one of our favorite cheesesteak places, which is in Camden, New Jersey. It's called Donkeys.
Donkeys. Oh,
and it's phenomenal cheesesteaks. I miss him. What he brought to the world, I think, was phenomenal. But
he was it's such a disappointment because he just seemed like the last person in the world that would do something like that. I guess it's like, you never know. But it's awful because he was like, what a great voice that we needed in strong and tough and on the right side. And
but it's weird how those things are. And throughout, again, we try to put ourselves in. Why? We don't get it, but you can't get it. You can't understand where someone is mentally when that happens and what the deal is. But I was just curious as to how extensive your friendship was, but at least
I wrote for him for many years. He actually asked me once to get him a set at the Comedy Cellar. He really loved comedy.
How
comics
was he?
And
how was he?
I didn't go because I was like, if he bombs, I don't want to be around him. I don't want to be associated. I don't want him to look at me and blame me.
Right, yeah.
But from all accounts, he did very well.
Okay.
He's a very charming guy.
So what are you working on any other films or things? That I mean, you obviously do stand-up.
A short film last summer with Nikki Glaser.
Right.
That I'm trying to get into some bigger festivals and stuff. I mean, I'm directing a lot. I've been directing commercials. Is that something you're supposed to say?
Yes, of course. No, it's cool.
I've been doing some directing.
What product?
Well, I did a Canon.
Oh, yeah?
A camera, not an actual Canon, I assume, correct?
It's actually for an app.
Oh, really?
I'm really shilling for the company.
you guys
are going to love it. It makes
we photo respect
albums.
It. Yeah.
I think it's called Photo Easy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, listen, that's to me, that... The whole process of a document. I'm a big fan of documentaries, and putting that stuff together is very meticulous and arduous. But when they
difficult.
Come out great, they're so supremely entertaining. So so it's
well,
cool.
I mean, that's the thing is that there should just be a section of documentaries with comedians.
Yes,
because they make it so good. Yeah. You just want to watch them.
Right. It's true. So about the roast, and people have asked how do people go about getting it? What's the best way to do it? Should they go to Rich's website or
They go to Rich's website or they can go to vossroast.com, VOSROAST, vossroast.com, and it'll take you right there.
So
$5 for a rental, $10 to buy, you should buy it.
Come on, man. Yeah, great
you
for
might
dads
show
and
your
grads.
Friends.
Yeah.
Hey, Bonnie, your book, You're Better Than Me, going back to that for a second, I haven't read it. Is that your story? Is that it says a memoir, but is that
I wrote
you
about
growing
Norm
up?
Macdonald. It's weird. I don't know why.
Why would
I did
you do that?
That?
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Yeah, my story wasn't interesting. No, it's my life story. And that's the other thing. He asked me about my life. He asked me to write about my life, but he didn't even know about it.
Boring. So it could have sucked. It could have been boring. Yeah.
My question being, though, when you write, your life story, is that it? I mean, is there more to it than that? You know what I mean?
His agent, who became my agent then, she told me, just write up until you get married.
Okay.
And then you'll have another book later.
That's what I was very wondering. Smart. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. And someone has to take the after death part. You can never write that yourself. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything that didn't make it into the book that you're like, oh, damn it, why didn't I?
So many things. Yeah, right? I was doing a book signing, and my friend was there. And then she said, hey, did you write about the thing that happened with Larry David? And I was like, oh, why didn't I write about the thing that happened with Larry David?
It's so funny because it's the 20th anniversary of the show, and Preston and I have been doing a lot of interviews about the show. And we sit there. And we're asked these questions that you think anybody within a grasp of mental sanity would be able to. Oh, and there was this. I can't think of anything.
I have a hard time remembering
this. Yeah, and it's just and so to sit down and commit.
It's because you have to You have to really think without a phone in your hand.
You probably have to call people and go,
what happened?
Is there anything interesting you remember about me? You know,
I should have done that a couple of times.
So what happened with Larry David?
So I saw him at Montreal, one of the very first times I went to Montreal for New Faces. And he was there. So he hadn't done Curb Your Enthusiasm yet. So I didn't know what he looked like.
It's post-Seinfeld, pre-Curb.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was talking to a group of people, and I was sort of standing there, and he was saying he was thinking about getting back into comedy. And I just looked at this old man, and I kind of rolled my eyes. He was like, you don't think I should? I was like, well, I mean, are you in show business at all? You know? I mean, wow. I don't know if now is the time to just try to jump into this thing.
But you know what? You're giving advice that we will give sometimes if you see somebody who's like in there, you know, hey, I think I'm going to leave this and get
try
into
radio.
Yeah.
30 some odd years old. Yeah. And we're like, you missed it.
Yeah. So you're just trying to be kind.
Because really what they buy in show business is your potential.
Right. That's, right.
And once you hit your potential, they're no longer interested. Yeah. It's like done.
Well, you saved Larry David from some embarrassment. What if he didn't have the chops?
So the next day my manager called me and was like, why were you talking to Larry David? And I was like, what?
What if he'd listened to you? You could have killed Curb.
You know? How did word get to your agent? Did Larry say something to somebody?
He had seen me talking to him at the party, I guess, and was like, what the hell is going on? I mean, just like, I'm sure it was just gesticulating, like, no, this is not for you.
That's funny. Gosh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'd been in it about a year and a half, so I really knew what I was talking about.
Listen, why don't you send me some stuff you've written? I'll take a look at it.
Are you in showbiz at all? Yep.
Well, now you have a story for the next book.
Yes.
Yeah,
put that one in there. Bonnie is going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, and tomorrow night shows are at 7:30 and 10:30 each night, so you can get them by going to heliumcomedy.com.
Come on down.
Enjoy your time in Philadelphia.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Anytime. And tell Rich we said hi.
Okay? I will.
Bonnie McFarlane. We'll break and we'll be back in a second. Oh, and we're going to announce the winners of Philly's Hottest when we get back. Tuesday. Stay with us.
This summer. Surprise! Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. And Marissa, did you have a charity that you wanted to plug? Oh, you're shaking your boobs for a different reason. It's the international sign on the President Steve Show. If you shake your boobs, that means you want to plug something.
It's our version of semaphore.
Yeah. So when because we're the mics are on and everything, but no, she was doing it for a different reason, and now I understand what she was doing that for, because we have to announce the winner of Philly's Hottest. This time around, we asked ladies to don their favorite swimsuits. You know, the swimsuit competition was taken out of Miss America pageant.
Yes.
And so we decided to do, our own version of it. And we had ladies send in pictures of themselves in their swimsuits. And thank you for the photos. And thank you for the votes. Everybody who chimed in and let their voice be heard. We now are going to announce our winner of Philly's Hottest.
And I want to thank the ladies did a lot of campaigning and really worked it. And it really, we really appreciate that.
All right. And our winner, don't worry about it, Casey. Our winner for Philly's Hottest is Amber Lee! Oh! That is correct. Wow. Amber Lee, our winner, and she ran away with it as well. And I followed Amber Lee on her social media, and she campaigned very hard for it.
I love it.
Yeah, and we love it when ladies do that. So thank you so much, and we have some great prizes. And guess what? We've got her on the phone.
Whoa!
Yes, let's go to Amber Lee. Amber Lee, good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning, guys.
You have won Philly's Hottest swimsuit. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I am shaking right now. I'm so excited.
Listen, Emberly, we know well. She comes out to all of our events.
Big supporter, yes.
Huge fan of the Preston and Steve show and supporter.
And you know what's cool about it? I was watching some of the other the ladies doing their campaigning as well, but you were like, hey, you know, you were pre-thanking people for the support, very gracious. You always support the other people, and you nailed it. You won it.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I don't know. I wanted it really bad. I mean, the other ladies were so beautiful. I was so nervous. I'm like, oh, my God, this is crazy. But I don't know.
Well, congratulations.
I have to thank, everybody, and I really thank you guys for everything as well. And I'm sorry, I overly post everything.
I overly what?
Well, you know, here's the deal, by the way.
She's going to cry.
She's also, you are, your boyfriend is our former intern and now broadcaster in his own right, John, who works down in Delaware. So, you're tied to this station in multiple ways.
He deserves sainthood for dealing with
me. By the way, I'm glad to see that your butt has healed since I bruised it. She's,
the sorority
events, and we do the ceremonial spanking, and I left bruises on Amberlee's ass.
She was into it.
She asked for it. Yeah, she did ask for it. But listen, we got something else for you besides a bruised hiney. We have $1,000 in cash. We have over $1,000 in jewelry and gift cards from Steven Singer Jewelers. And then you get an awesome professional photo shoot by the lovely, amazingly talented Allison Dunlap and her photography studio.
That is insane. I'm probably going to have a heart attack right now.
All
right.
Hey, well, just sit down, take it easy, and relish your victory.
Amberly, I'm very happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
There you go. She's our Philly's Hottest Swimsuit Gal, Amberly. There's no that you know we have some loyal fans and we never take it for granted. We appreciate it, and there are some people that go above and beyond and come out to every event and support all kinds of stuff. And she's one of those people. So
she's awesome.
I love it. Thank you very much for voting, everybody. We appreciate it, and just hang on because you never know when the next one might be coming up. And of course, we're getting ready for our totally office calendar. I know it's it's not even August yet. We're right on the edge of it. But to get that calendar out by November, which is traditionally when we do it, we have to do all that like now.
Yes.
Yeah. We have to get on that right away. So we start figuring things out and we get it underway in short order. So if you indeed are interested in being in our calendar, you can email Kathy. She handles all of the duties of the Totally Office calendar.
And does a great job, by the way, corralling all that.
And feel free to send photos, or if you know somebody who should be in it, let them know about it and get in touch with Kathy.
You can actually email girls@WMMR.com.
Is that easier?
Yep.
All right, girls@WMMR.com. Okay.
Either is fine.
Okay. And it means a lot because actually the calendar is around the time of the camp out, and leading up to the camp out is one of the things that we give away as sort of a thank you, Chachki, for coming out and supporting the camp out. So it's directly tied to the Philabundance and everything of that period of time. So we can't thank you enough for taking your time to be a part of it.
Amberly's gallery is now posted on PrestonandSteve.com if you would like to take a look. And follow her on social media. She posts pictures like that all the time.
You do as well, Preston.
It's not about us.
No, it's not. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All righty. Let's get to you some more stories, my friend. We'll begin with this. So maybe you saw this on the news or not, but cars are expensive, of course, and it's got to be awful to watch yours fall down into a sinkhole. One such hole opened up amid heavy rains on a Colorado road and swallowed an entire SUV, and it was caught on camera, like on video.
It is amazing.
Yeah, and not only does it go down into the hole, but then you see it bobbing up and down because it's floating in water.
No way. Yeah.
Once it goes in. Yeah, we're watching the video of it now, and you will see that it floats in the water while it's inside the hole. The Toyota RAV4 was just about completely submerged in water at the bottom of the 15-foot deep sinkhole. The driver of the vehicle was somebody in it.
Yes.
When it went in. I was able to escape before the vehicle fell, and she was not injured. So it was right before it went under, she got out. A sinkhole previously opened up at that same intersection in 2015, so they may want to reconsider where that road is. The family of a New Orleans teen shot and killed last month is honoring his memory in a unique way. 17-year-old Renard Matthews loved the Boston Celtics and playing video games, which is exactly how his family wanted to remember him at his wake. Matthews' body was dressed in a
Celtics jersey?
Yeah, it was a Boston Celtics jersey. Kyrie Irving. Yeah. and Celtics socks. He was posed to hold a video game controller while sitting next to some of his favorite food.
This is exactly what I was talking about, what I wanted to have happen when I'm dead and gone.
I don't like these
things. No, they creep me out.
I think it's wonderful. Ugh. It's for the family to pose with the body that way.
Ugh. On June 25th.
It's all about creeping people out.
New Orleans police received a call that a person was down and found Matthew's body with a gunshot wound to the head. Matthews had been walking his dog when shot and was also robbed of his cell phone. So it was just a robbery. Police have not arrested a suspect. So that's,
I would put that in like, because he's sitting in a chair. You know, and it looks a little weird. I would put that in maybe like a coffin.
Oh, you know? What do you mean?
So have him sit up in the coffin. Sit up, prop him up, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't play your video games that way.
Yes, you can. You just hand him the controller.
Okay.
A 37-year-old New Jersey man has been arrested for allegedly speeding drunk in a school zone with a passenger on the roof of his BMW.
And you can't do that.
Khalid McLaugh was taken into custody shortly before 4 a.m. Saturday in Hoboken after officers saw him allegedly driving too fast down Washington Street with someone sitting on the hood of his car.
So if it had not been a school zone, would it have been okay?
Maybe.
All right.
Cops pulled him over, and they say they smelled alcohol coming from his vehicle. The driver also allegedly had slurred speech, droopy eyes, and couldn't complete a field sobriety test.
I'm drunk.
The person riding on the roof was identified as a 27-year-old friend of the driver who was issued a summons for disorderly conduct. A motorcyclist in India was delayed in going for a ride when he found a 5-foot cobra occupying the vehicle. A video that was filmed in the central part of the country shows a crowd of onlookers gathering to watch as the cobra hisses and poises to strike at anyone who comes too close to the side panel. Witnesses said the snake is believed to have slithered inside the motorcycle and gotten its tail caught.
Wow.
Snake catcher Chand Pasha.
Yeah, he's good.
Responded to the scene and spent nearly an hour safely capturing the cobra. Pasha said the cobra was likely seeking shelter from the rain when it crawled into the bike.
You forget that there are places on Earth where you can casually happen upon a cobra.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. An outfitter in Vail, Colorado, lets you borrow llamas to take for a hike if you want.
Yeah!
The Scenic Jaunt is one of Colorado's best mountain towns, and it includes a stop for lunch as well. The guide company offers different routes for its Take a Llama to Lunch adventure in Vail.
Ain't no lunch like a llama lunch.
Yeah. By the way, this story is just littered with puns. One of them says, sign me up, alpaca my bag.
That's good. It's good.
I left them out. It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's horrible. The Arrowhead Llama Lunch is based out of the Arrowhead ski area and is an easy to moderate half-day hike. And the Backcountry Llama Lunch is a full-day hike in the wilderness that is far more serious for more serious hikers. If hiking is not your thing, there's also a wine and cheese option in the Arrowhead ski area. And you can have
Llamas eat wine and cheese?
No, but they can be with you.
Oh.
Llamas do great with children due to their gentle nature. So these hikes make for unique family or group outings.
That's
plus,
so cool.
The llamas are excellent trail companions and pack animals and can carry as much as 80 pounds.
Then at the end of the whole thing, you can club them to death and
you get to
grill
it.
Them. Yeah.
But don't mistake them for horses. You can't ride them. The company gives us fair warning. They do not like being ridden, no matter how much grain we feed them. So you do not want to try it, but that's kind of interesting.
The disposition of any llama that I've been around, and you know, in radio, we're constantly coming up against llamas.
Llamas.
They're always very pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Sam, the wild turkey who lived near a busy intersection on Smyrna's Sam Ridley Parkway, received a touching tribute Monday night. Approximately a dozen of Sam fans gathered near the intersection.
Did you hear how he was buried?
To share stories of their memories.
In
of
a bird. Celtics jersey holding a PlayStation controller.
But they lit candles in his honor. The vigil organizer, Connie Mazingo, said he stood out. Our world is so busy, but we don't take time for the little stuff, but nature is coming out for us.
And he tasted great.
Mazingo was joined by neighbors who lived in the area, and everyone in attendance took a moment to share what they liked about Sam, the wild turkey.
He was the best lover I ever had.
Although the outpouring of concern for a wild turkey raised some mixed reactions on social media, those who made it out to the vigil did so, they said, to help raise awareness of how close wildlife still comes to modern life.
Well, thanks for the for the heads up.
Hey, here's some wildlife for you. An unfortunate woman from Brentwood, Tennessee, discovered that she had an infestation of brown recluse spiders in her bedroom.
Oh, God. Man.
She figured it out after getting a bunch of spider bites in her sleep and then going to the doctor. Those things can kill you if left untreated,
folks.
One
of them can.
2 days later, she was taken to the emergency room because she couldn't move or swallow. That's,
I don't feel so good.
That is bad. She said that the views of Brentwood apartment complex sprayed her unit, but it didn't get rid of the spiders. Wright said that she asked the complex to break her lease, but they're resisting. They're not letting her out of her lease.
What? No, just because of lethal spiders?
Yeah, an infestation.
You know, wow. Tim Graham, our one of our sales guys, was bitten by one, finally figured out what had happened.
Really?
Yes. Well,
a friend of mine,
that's
Charlie.
That's why his head fell off.
Had to go to the emergency room, stay in the hospital for about 4 or 5 days
because
he got bit in the leg by one. Yeah. It starts to...
It's a ring first.
It starts to necrotize. I mean, like, decay. It can get really, really bad. One last story. Experts from the University of Southern Denmark found levels of arsenic in 3 books from the 16th and 17th centuries. These were poison books.
So meant to kill the recipients or the readers?
I don't know. Researchers were studying fragments of the medieval manuscripts that were used to bind the books. When they discovered the poison, the library is storing the poisonous volumes in separate cardboard boxes with safety labels in a ventilated cabinet, according to scientists who work on the project. So I don't know if it was intended for, to be an assassination tool or what?
Yeah.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Hey, I would like to wish a happy birthday to a couple of... Actually, one guy. It was a couple that we had on our show. They were not your average listeners, right?
They were.
Yeah, we had Mike and Jess from Van Life. Remember, they live in their van.
They're awesome.
No fixed address. They travel around the country, and that's what they do. Well, it's Mike's birthday today.
Hey, Mike.
And they are regular podcasters. Yeah. Of the Preston and Steve Show. It's part of what they do while they're traveling all over the nation.
It's
so,
Van There, right?
Yes, sir. Van Dot There.
Yep.
On Instagram.
He's he is a really good artist. He draws a lot of the locations they go to.
Yeah.
And she's gorgeous.
Is that when we had Kathy try to draw a location that
she'd
been to?
Yeah, Kathy, which she drew a Barcelona, a place in Spain. I thought it was a family on fire.
Yeah.
It was Sagrada Familia.
Okay.
So happy birthday to Mike. And yes, Jess is stunning. And they take really cool photos, too.
Very scenic. And they're living the life. Yeah. The van life.
And a couple of her butt.
Oh, and a couple pictures of her butt?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one very prominent picture of her butt on Instagram right now. So take a look when you get a chance, and happy birthday to Mike, and congratulations, Jess, on your butt.
Good for you.
We're going to take a break, and as we do so, Zoe's Kitchen has been here feeding us and our guests this morning. They are wonderful. We love Zoe's Kitchen, and their recipes contain an abundance of fresh produce. That's the difference, folks. Whole grains, nutrient-rich legumes.
Legumes.
And lean proteins. They never use fryers or microwaves. They prep their food by hand, and all items are made fresh from scratch. That's why it tastes so good.
Download their app, by the way. Super awesome.
So we got a $50 gift card. Caller number 17 at 215-263-WMMR. The gift card is yours. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
Good morning. Preston and Steve Show, our Word of the Week prize is rapidly approaching, giving it away this morning, and that'll be in just a little bit. I want you to be prepared for that. Oh, you know what? I want to mention and get some feedback. Marissa did an appearance last night, the Miller Lite London Calling with the Green Legion, and the Preston and Steve Show as we are headed to London. Marissa, did you get somebody on board that's going to be possibly one of our winners?
I did, and I'm trying to remember her name. She was from... Oh, gosh, I can't. It was so late last night.
Probably from Delco.
She was from Delco. Everybody was from Delco, and it was so much fun. I also have to give a special little shout-out to, if you guys will just bear with me for 1 second, the guy who was in the band, his name was Rick Choate. And his instrument is Rick Choate.
Wait a minute.
I know.
Rick Choate?
Choate. Because that's your taint, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So his name is Dick Choate?
Rick, R-I-C-K, C-H-O-A-T-E. He won, and because he is at the bar so much playing, he wanted to pay it forward and pass it to a second
place. That is awesome. That is awesome. And this gentleman's name is Testicles Grundle? What is it?
Well, he's a really good singer and guitar player. But Stingers is awesome. Casey, I hadn't been there before. It's right on the water there in Ridley. It is beautiful. I loved it. I was having so much fun. And all the servers were having a blast, too. They said it was like the biggest crowd they had ever seen.
And it's right on the river?
Yeah.
Oh, very
cool. the river, so you can like pull your boat up or your jet ski or anything like that. It's right on the slip. And everybody who was out last night, I invited them to the next one. It's at Three Monkeys tonight. If you've ever gone before, you're totally welcome to go to the next one and the next one until you win.
I don't have the Three Monkeys on my list here. I have the one, the next one, August 22nd, which is a little break we're going to have before the next one at Destination Dog in Philadelphia.
I'm not going to lie that I actually just saw that on a tweet that somebody asked if I was going to be there, so let me double check.
I would check and make sure that's officially with the Preston and Steve Show and the Green Legion and Miller Lite.
Yes, the 27th, that's tonight at Three Monkeys. Miller Lite Specials and Green Legion will be there. And
there you go.
Some Green Legion girls who are awesome. They have so much fun. They're signing their calendars while they're there. So it's a great time.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Marissa. Appreciate that.
Completely official right there.
I also want to mention that we have new Daily Rush videos up. I didn't plug this one the other day. The Saoirse Ronan farting. is up, and I haven't watched it yet.
There's a great graphic that has been rigged up, a little bit of animation
for that
to
one
to illustrate Saoirse's farting.
No, it's farting.
Farting.
You got to drop the G. So you can watch it now at PrestonSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, bar, and the Belly Flop Championship is up now.
Ooh.
The edited version of everything that went on that day is up and running, and I can't wait to watch that one. So make sure that you take a look at those Daily Rush videos today. I have a shout out real quick. This is from our in-studio listener, Bonnie. Her boyfriend, Michael C., is in the hospital.
Oh.
It says Sunday / today, or I guess he went in Sunday, he went home today. Liver problems, and she said he's always sharting, so this seems natural.
Perfect.
So a shart, and that's for Michael from Bonnie. All right, we're going to do a lesson question now, and we are going to give away today Super Troopers 2 on Blu-ray. And the question I have for you, we had Jessie Mae Peluso in here earlier. She said Kendall Jenner looks more like what now than her original face? 215-263-WMMR. Kendall Jenner looks more like what now than her original face? You had to have been listening to know what the answer is. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know. Give us a call. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. Let's find out what you got for us today, Steve.
Well, voted one of the top 20 sexiest women alive in an online poll. Channing Tatum's estranged wife, Jenna Dewan, laughably saying she's nervous about getting back into the dating scene. Dewan says getting out into the clubs is scary, especially since she runs the risk of being knocked unconscious by telescoping boners.
Yeah. Hey!
Conor McGregor will not do any jail time and will be required to attend anger management classes as part of a plea deal tied to the assault of a rival last month. McGregor says he hopes the anger management classes will help him to handle his violent outbursts so he can get back to his job, which is violent outbursts. Yeah. And finally, yesterday, during a promotional press conference, 80-year-old Jane Fonda confirmed that 9 to 5 is getting a sequel, again starring her, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton. Fonda says that in this case, 9 to 5 pertains to the odds that someone in the cast will crap themselves.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood trend.
All righty. We will see if somebody has the answer to this question. And it is, Kendall Jenner looks more like what now than her original face? I'm guessing this is Dolores on the line. It says Eloris. So
find out.
Let's find out.
Eloris.
Yeah. Is this Eloris or Dolores?
Dolores.
Yeah.
Dolores.
I thought so. Dolores, do me a favor. Kendall Jenner looks more like what now than her original face? Tell me the answer.
Her butthole.
You got it. Hang on a second.
That's Eloris.
Dolores, we are going to set you up. Super Troopers 2 on Blu-ray. Everyone's favorite law enforcement team is backed by popular demand in the follow-up to the cult comedy classic Super Troopers. And it's available, meow, on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's get into it. I got a bunch of stuff. I'm going to start with a concert ticket deal. Smashing Pumpkins are playing tomorrow at the Wells Fargo Center and on sale now. There is a special offer to celebrate MMR's 50th, and it's 4 tickets for $50.
That's amazing.
Yeah, for tomorrow. Now, I'm going to tell you this because it's got this in parentheses. It's plus fees, all right? No password required. But it says four tickets for $50, but the total is going to come out to about $95.
That's what Pierre said yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he was kidding.
No.
All right.
So I'm just going
to... I'm not quite sure how that works.
I don't know, but I'm not going to hide. I'd hate for you to go and be pissed off when you heard that we said it was four tickets for $50. So,
I mean, so it's about $25 a ticket or less than $25 a ticket.
Yeah.
Which is a still great not deal. That bad for Smashing Pumpkins.
No, it's a good price. So, but keep in mind, four tickets for $50, but you're going to pay $95.
That's a savings of almost $50 to $10.
I don't know.
But
or not.
Get in on it now.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. Seems a little odd to me.
All right. But if you're a Smashing Pumpkins fan, save some money.
Yep.
Or not.
Or not.
Morello has unveiled his new solo album. It is titled The Atlas Underground, announcing that the project will be released on October 12th. The 12-track disc marks Morello's first full-length LP under his own name, having previously released three solo albums and an EP as The Night Watchman. This is going to be just as Tom Morello.
Do you know what his actual full name is?
Uh-uh.
Tom Eloris Morello.
Wow. His most recent effort under the name, Worldwide Rebel Songs, arrived in 2011. The Atlas Underground's lengthy guest list includes contributions from Portugal the Man, Cage the Elephant, Ex-Ambassadors, Rise Against, Marcus Mumford, Big Boy, Steve Aoki, and The RZA. So there's a bunch more on board as well. Morello said about the project, "I've been devoted both musically and as an activist to fighting injustice at every turn. Amid this heightened sense of impending doom, it's now time to rally the troops and last-ditch effort to save the planet and artistic souls. By challenging the boundaries of what music is and has sounded like before, you can open people's eyes to changing the status quo in society."
Is he still running that bash fishing contest?
He doesn't do that. Marilyn Manson abruptly canceled his performance on Thursday night in Toronto last night. Yeah,
what happened?
Cancellation was confirmed on his official Twitter account, which said, "Due to an unforeseen illness, Marilyn Manson will not be performing tonight in Toronto. If you were in attendance specifically to see Marilyn Manson, your tickets will be available for refund at point of purchase. Rob Zombie will perform as scheduled." Now, a fan film video has surfaced on Twitter showing the crowd's reaction to the announcement.
But they must have been thrilled.
Yeah, they cheered. No, it was a mixture of boos and yells and disgust. As the clip shows, Manson's stage backdrops were already hung in anticipation of the scheduled performance. So he was ready to go, but he took ill. The show was part of the Shock Rockers' Twins of Evil, the second coming tour with Zombie, and they are going to be in town on August 9th. So,
but instead, ladies and gentlemen, Richard Marx.
We have your chance to win tickets in the pit and a chance to meet Rob or Marilyn coming up in just a little while. Ozzy Osbourne and his son Jack recently visited Space Camp in Huntsville, Alabama for an episode of their A&E Network travel show Ozzy and Jack's World Detour. The Space Camp episode titled Lizard of Oz will premiere next Wednesday. A preview of the clip for the segment features Ozzy wearing an astronaut's spacesuit and suspended in midair while muttering, "I'm dressed up like a Thanksgiving turkey." He adds, as if quoting the news report, "Ozzy Osbourne breaks neck. He fell off in a make-believe rocket." Season 3 of the show debuted last month. It features Ozzy and his son traveling to various historical and off-the-beaten-track locations around the globe. His daughter Kelly also joined them for a few episodes this season.
I think I would like to visit Space Camp.
Yeah. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
I watched an episode of the show. It was pretty good.
It's actually better than you would think. There's a fair amount of it devoted to imparting actual information.
Yep.
Was that always the grand prize, Casey, on Double Dare?
Not always. Sometimes it was a trip to Orlando.
That's right. Okay.
Ozzy has not started a regular scheduled TV series since the show The Osbournes ended in 2005. Axl Rose has not ruled out the possibility of recording new music with the current lineup of Guns N' Roses, which, of course, features 3/5 of the original lineup. Asked in a rare interview with Iceland Magazine if he has considered going into the studio, he said, "Right now our focus is touring and the shows," he said, "but everyone seems to be getting along, so you never know."
Hmm.
And he left it at that.
Hmm.
Here's a follow-up to something I had about Paul McCartney yesterday. He ended up performing. I said he was going to perform somewhere else in Liverpool.
Yes.
He performed at the Cavern Club yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Marking his first return to the venue in 19 years.
But he performed close-up magic.
Oh, it wasn't music, no. But the original Cavern Club, which was across the street from where the revamped venue now stands, was demolished back in 1973. Paul and his band performed a 27-song set, with the former Beatles stopping his performance of the Wings classic Letting Go to take some fans to task for continuing to take photos and film the gig, saying, you've all been told not to take photos. You're taking them, and you're taking them, and it's putting me off. He said, so, you know, play
I'll
by...
I'll kill you all.
He said,
I'll rip your hearts out. I'll literally gut you from the tops of your throat down to your genitals. I'll kill you.
He said that...
Every stinking one of you. Just like I killed John.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh. Oops.
Big reveal.
And then he went in to Let It Be.
Forget I said that.
Yes. No, he said, so, you know, play by the rules, man.
If he's asked, if Paul McCartney...
If you're told.
...is putting on a show like that, in an intimate setting like that, and he asks you to stop taking pictures... Yeah. Stop taking pictures, you dingbat.
I have a follow-up story as well for this. We had Mickey Dolenz on not long ago. It was a great interview from the Monkees. And I asked him about Mike Nesmith. They had to cancel their tour because of health issues. Well, Mike Nesmith has now revealed what that was all about. He underwent quadruple bypass surgery.
Wow. Well, that's a good reason to skip a concert tour.
Yeah, he broke his silence to Rolling Stone, where he explained, I was using the words heart attack for a while, but I'm told now that I didn't have one. It was congestive heart failure. It has taken me 4 weeks to climb out of it. He said, if anybody ever comes up to you on the street and offers you bypass surgery for free, turn them down. He said, it hurts. And I was getting weaker and weaker, and I couldn't get my breath. When we got to Lake Tahoe and then the high altitude of Denver, I couldn't get out of bed and I couldn't breathe. It was agonizing. It was just the busyness It was the business of wanting to take a deep, big breath and not being able to do it. He shed light on the events that led him to being hospitalized, which was, I didn't know, here in Philadelphia on June 21st. After sucking down oxygen during the previous shows, when Dolenz took a vocal spotlight, he said, I didn't collapse to the ground or anything like that, but I couldn't breathe. So I sat down until I got my breath, and then I realized the breath wasn't gettable. And that marked the end. People knew that I couldn't keep on like this, and it was a road to hell. Mm. But he's doing better now.
Good.
He is on his recovery. My dad has heart issues, and he has arrhythmia. And when he gets out of rhythm, he's like, that's the way it is. He's like, you're so weak, and you can't catch your breath. He said, it just is horrible. Absolutely horrible.
It does not sound good.
And then one last thing. Billy Joel kicks off his five-stadium run for 2018 with tonight's gig at Philadelphia Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, Billy.
Marking the Piano Man's fifth consecutive summer show at the legendary home of the Phillies. In addition to his Madison Square Garden residency, between now and October, Billy will hit Boston's Fenway Park, Chicago's Wrigley Field, Kansas City, Missouri's Kauffman Stadium, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina's BB&T Field at Wake Forest.
Kathy, you saw him at Citizens Bank, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. I did.
It was thanks, Kate. Him and Elton, was it him and Elton John?
Yes, it was the second time I saw him and Elton John, and it was when Elton John really didn't leave the piano. He kind of sat the whole time. He was getting a little older, a little more tired, but Billy Joel was still up and running.
Okay.
You also saw him when it was just Billy Joel.
Yes, and I saw the original Billy Joel Elton John tour, which was amazing.
Yeah, and it's I've seen Billy a couple of times, and it's a hit fest, as you would imagine.
Of course, yeah,
that's all he does. He quit putting out new music a long time ago, and he just plays the bread and butter, and that's what you get.
So and then eats it.
He'll be there tonight. Well, clearly, yeah, the man's put on a lot of weight. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in music news. There's a really great bit of audio. Pierre could find it for you, and I think it might have been Michael Tierson with Billy in Philadelphia warming up, getting ready for a gig, and he's interviewing him while he's sitting on the piano and doing the air check. Was that Tierson? Do you know?
I don't know.
I'm not sure who it was, but anyhow, and he's just kind of playing around and tickling the ivories while he's talking to him, and he starts to go in, and this is way before he and Elton really even knew each other. He starts going into Benny and the Jets. And it was probably in the late 1970s, early 80s. It was really cool.
Billy Joel is that kind of musician that can just start playing something. Knows how to...
It's what he did before he was the
he would play
songwriter.
Bars.
The song Piano Man.
Yeah.
It was about his life. And he could just, you know, you say a song, he'll start playing it. He's that type of person.
And so. John at the bar was a friend of his.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the guy gave him his drinks for free, for crying out loud. Why wouldn't they be friends?
You guys know about Davey?
And he's talking to Davey, who likes to drink gravy.
No, he's still in the Navy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And probably will be for life. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll get our letter of day for the Word of the Week prize, which we will give away. Will it be you who wins? Let's find out.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3
WMMR. 93.3 WMMR. Tom Petty. Mary Jane's Last Dance. You're going to hear some Tom Petty this weekend, but from 1978. We're going to be celebrating that year for MMR's 50th birthday. We're highlighting a different year in the 50 years each weekend of this year. And just telling you some of the things that may have gone on in that time that may be before your time, or you may have been a hardcore MMR listener when those songs were coming out, when that stuff was going on. You can live it whichever way you choose this weekend, sponsored by Resorts Casino Hotel, and don't miss out on it. Let me see. We got to do some thank yous. It's what we do at the end of the show. So I want to thank Jesse May Palooza. She was hilarious.
She's great.
She's a spitfire.
She is a spitfire. Sassy.
That young lady. And she's going to be appearing at Punchline tonight. There's one show at 7:30 and then two shows tomorrow night, 7:30 and 9:45. And then we had another wonderful, funny young woman here today, Bonnie McFarlane.
Love her.
And Bonnie will be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and Saturday. And there are two shows each night, 7:30 and 10 p.m., heliumcomedy.com. And thank you. And man, did I need it this morning. Zoe's Kitchen for being here. Had a couple beverages last night, and so Zoe's kind of
absorbed.
Yeah, it was
well,
nice.
You know, again, Mediterranean diet is the healthy diet, it's the one to get with.
And their website, through their website or their app, guests can sign up for their new loyalty program, ZK Rewards.
Oh, I'm on it, man.
And the program surprises guests with customized rewards and invites to exclusive local events and a bunch more. They have over 260 locations nationwide. 17 of them are here in the greater Philly area. They just recently opened up two locations this year, one in Morristown, New Jersey, and one in Malvern, PA.
Let me give you a little advice with that. If you get the app, you order your stuff ahead of time, you just go in, it's there ready to be picked up. So, you know, you're heading over, you can set your favorites, you just place the order, bing, bang, and as they say, Preston, boom.
Oh, wow. They throw in a boom.
They throw in a boom. Well, it's Mediterranean.
So we will, I might do some more giveaways before we're done. Oh. But we got something else to give away first. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Figured that might get him in here.
It's like a hair NATO.
The Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
Why?
Why I oughta.
Why I oughta as in yellow.
All right, yellow. What are you?
Yellow?
Yellow
bastard.
Caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. You got to know the word, though, in order to win. So caller number 10, 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. And we'll see if you can indeed do that, win our prize. How do you do, sir?
Excellent. Excellent.
That's nice to hear.
I represented you guys at the Best of Mainline magazine party last night.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, they're fun parties.
Really great party over
there. They're great. Brooke. They're wonderful. Yeah. And I haven't been able to attend in a couple of years, but it's really like just a whole bunch of really fantastic stuff.
Yeah. I mean, all the winners are there and they set up, you know, so everything from wedding booths to, you know, food places to massage places, gyms are all represented. And then they've got Jelly Roll, this great party band playing. Yeah. They've been together for like 30-something years.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's where we first got introduced to the bread pudding at the Desmond. Voted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it what?
Voted the best of.
Yeah, oh, really? at the best of, they had the hotel, the Desmond, has a great restaurant. They make this bread pudding that was just out of this world.
Very cool.
Yeah, lots of great food and stuff at these events, yeah.
So it was a great time, thanks to the readers of Mainline Magazine, Mainline Today Magazine, who voted Preston and Steve Best Morning Show, me Best Music DJ, and the station Best Music Radio Station.
That's
so
awesome.
A triple win by as thanks to their listeners. So
we're thrilled for the support.
Yeah.
Nice. Shall we? Let's. I guess we should get our winner. Well, no. Let's see what's coming up on your show today.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
We already got one more pair of tickets for Rise Against at Festival Pier. That's coming up August 4th. Going to be a great show. We will have a workforce block of Billy Joel and That's because he's in at Pierre's Good Citizens Park.
Just a moment ago, you may not have been listening, but
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It was Joe Bonadonna.
That's who it was.
During afternoon drive, Billy gave us this amazing opportunity to broadcast live from the sound check and for Joe to be sitting at the piano.
He was on the piano bench with him, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome. And I don't know where that tape has gone.
I heard it a couple of years ago here. Hit? Yeah.
You sure you just didn't hear the Captain Jack from Sigma Sound? From
No, I'm positive because he started going into,
Joe is sitting there
talking to him and they're doing a sound check and he starts playing Benny and the Jets.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, that's really cool. He was a fan of Elton's back then, you know, and because they had a rivalry for a little while and then they were friends and then they didn't like each other. But anyway, I thought it was really neat and sounded cool. So I specifically heard it on MMR. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's quite possible. Hmm. Some of the archival moments, you know, weren't always saved, or if they were saved, they weren't always labeled.
Yeah. I mean, there's a voluminous amount of the stuff that you've been pulling out. You know, over the past couple of months has been, this stuff I had no idea we had, and it's just, it's amazing to hear it.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
yeah.
Can't you just get him to do it again?
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Okay.
I was
instead of Joe Bonadonna, Gary Lauer is sitting down with
the Gary would,
instead of Benny the Jets, you know, Preston, the,
ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
Radio gold right there.
That is radio gold. They don't make them like that anymore. Anyway, so Billy's in town, and we'll do a big workforce block. Also, the Smashing Pumpkins are in town tomorrow. I mean, we have an abundance of riches.
Yes.
An embarrassment of riches, almost, in terms of music, because we also have the Eagles and James Taylor tomorrow. At the ballpark, you got Billy Joel there tonight. You got Smashing Pumpkins.
James Taylor performing with the Eagles doing some of the Glenn Frey stuff?
No. Well, he might come on play a song.
Because I know his son is doing...
Yeah, his son Deacon Frey is doing part of his parts. And then they brought Vince Gill in.
Who's good.
Yeah, incredibly good. So he does some of the songs and some of his own stuff, too. So it'll be really interesting to see how they do that. James Taylor's playing with his own band to open things. But also, you've got the War on Drugs over in Camden. I think that's tomorrow night.
That's cool, too. They're good.
Exponential Festival. You've got David Byrne of Talking Heads in over there tonight. So, I mean, everywhere you turn, there is music happening of all different sizes, shapes, and colors that you can take in. It's one of the great things about living in this area.
Yeah, I will actually be at that War on Drugs concert.
Oh, cool.
Tonight, yes.
I've wanted to see them for the longest time.
Yeah.
They're talented.
Are they good in concert?
I have only seen concert footage on the internet, and to me, it seems great. Like the light setup is very moody. I'm really, really down with that. But I got the tour to shore on Sunday, so I can only stay for a little bit of that thing because I got to get up early on Sunday.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tons of stuff. So we'll get to a block of Billy Joel. We will also get to a block of the Smashing Pumpkins, and that I believe that $50 ticket deal still is in place. Where if you go to WMMR.com, you can get 4 tickets for the Pumpkins for $50 plus service charges, makes it about $95. But that for 4 tickets is unbelievable.
It's still pretty amazing. Yeah.
In this day and age, amazing. So we've got that going. We'll have a block of songs from 1978, which is the year we'll be celebrating this weekend for MMR's 50th birthday. And from the archives, we will also play Billy Corgan with me doing one of the newer Smashing Pumpkins songs. So we've got quite a day ahead.
That's great, man. Yeah. All right. Well, let's make quite a day for someone on the phone line. I have Dana, who we're going to go to. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning.
All right, Dana, you give us a word of the week prize, or the word of the week, we give you the prize. What is the word?
Monty.
Great. Hey, Marty.
Dana, you got it. Man, and if there ever was...
I've been walking down your hall.
What are you babbling about?
It's a song called Behind Door Number 3 from Jimmy Buffett.
Oh!
Monty, I've been walking down your hall. Got beat, lost my seat, but I'm not a man to crawl.
Fits perfectly with Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie. Which is what Dana has won tickets to.
Dana, you're going to get to go to the show at BB&T Pavilion on Thursday, August 9th. And we'll have passes to meet either Rob or Marilyn. It's your choice. You know who you might want to meet?
I'm going to have to go with Rob.
You got to go Rob. Rob Zombie? Yeah. All right, very good. Congratulations to you, Dana.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You bet. Hang
Buffett
on just a
will be on between the two of them.
Okay.
I'd love to see Jimmy Buffett come out between Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie.
What a night.
That was a fib, that last
part. Yeah. So some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com, by the way. All right. Let me see. You know what? Before I thank our sponsors, let me do the last bit of giveaways that we have. Zoe's Kitchen, I mentioned, who are here this morning. Give us $50 gift cards, and I got two of them left. So we'll take callers 25 and 26 at 215-263-WMMR. You know what? I also need to congratulate Amber Lee.
Yes.
Who won Philly's Hottest Swimsuit. She is a beautiful young lady, and she looks fantastic in her swimsuits. And the gallery's up on PrestonSteve.com for you to take a look at. So congratulations to her. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought today by Winter Airport Park, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Plus, we are powered by DHY Motorsports. You can get month-end savings now through July 31st. Ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic weekend. Rage on, and we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
I love that it's Friday, the best day of the f***ing week. I hate that the Blue Roots always jam northbound. Yeah! Go to f***ing hell, yeah!
Next message.
It's Friday!
Next message.
I get it. There's a lot of cool shit going on the internet all the time. But would you mind not checking it while we're going 60 f***ing miles down the Blue Route, you f***er?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.